WJFK. Infinity Broadcasting. WJFK-FM, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
Oh, am I happy camper today.
Are you really? Are you happy going into the show today?
Where's my man, Jeff? Hey, come here. Get on the microphone. Look at this. Hey, I love yelling at engineers, but I love more telling them when they do something right. That touch screen yesterday that we got by on?
Yeah.
I made the simple request, could you move it over to this side because I'm right-handed.
And it's there, not only it's bolted in there.
Way to go, Jeff.
It's not going anywhere.
Way to go.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Wait till you see Monday.
Ah, that's the right attitude. That's the attitude.
Look at this.
Thanks, Jeff. That's the attitude.
Yeah.
That's a Friday attitude right there, man. I like that.
Sure is.
Wait till you see Monday. Man, it makes you want to come to work.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, give our best to Wendell Hall.
Winner!
No, Wendell's done a lot of hard work
as well
in the studio. But
and poor Tony. I saw Tony sweating walking around today. Well,
Bacardi Limon.
All I know is those guys work hard, but Jeff is the can-do engineer.
Mm-hmm. Wendell's not swinging. He's not swinging from the doorway.
He's the can-do man. Okay, so I will do this.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest?
Hold on.
How about this? You are a member of your household.
Oh. Got a mono it out.
With any age limitation for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Right.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Oh, there you go. That's how you do the open with the touch screen. And look at that. Just 2 days ago, I was a raving lunatic idiot. Here is Wendell Hall.
Playing baseball, I think.
Wendell has a baseball.
Wendell's coming with a baseball bat and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
A baseball bat and a cigarette.
Down, how's the touch screen?
And Wendell, now Wendell,
good?
Let's be honest. You know I'm kidding you.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't I come back? Seriously, yeah. Not on the air. I came back yesterday and said to Wendell, Wendell's the guy that got it going yesterday.
Right.
That made it happen for us yesterday. I went back and said to him very seriously, you know, off air, no BS. Thank you for busting your ass on that.
I heard Mike say something about swinging.
Wendell's doing great. Hi, Wendell.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
That's Angel. Wendell is our main engineer, and he's very sensitive.
Wendell actually looks good for all the work that's been being done in here. You seem like you're calm. You seem like everything's fine.
Reasonably. Yeah.
Reasonably.
Cool.
Under the surface, though, it could snap at any minute.
Always.
Well, thank you as always, Wendell.
Of course.
Bye-bye.
There he goes with his bat and his knife.
Winner! There he goes.
Chains.
Rob, I want you to start my car for me tonight.
I want you to start mine.
Before we get to the actual pre-show stuff today, we have groaners, but here's one quick little time waster that I'll throw at you. Huh. Rather than the groaners for the pre-show,
right.
What we're going to have to do now is actually start the process of putting our 3,500 tapes each in this digital computer system.
Well, that'll be fun.
It's going to take a while.
So the question is going to be, what is worth saving and what is worth getting rid of?
I like that.
So every once in a while, we'll take just a couple of seconds at the beginning of the show.
Okay.
And we'll hear, for instance, now who knows? Do we need this? Well, that's broken. Do we need a message from TVs? Oh, hold on a second. Oh, boy, got to switch everything.
So many buttons.
So, yeah, okay. Now the buttons are all set. Do we need a message from TV's Kevin James? I don't know why we saved this or why we have it.
I want you to tape all this and play it for us.
All right,
let me tell you something,
all
my friend.
All right, go ahead.
Okay,
my friend.
I am running the show.
Okay.
I am the one who talked to Michael Whitehorn, our executive producer, about you guys saying we have to get it on. I brought it up. You guys would never be mentioned if it wasn't for me.
Yeah, okay.
All right,
get
on you.
Get angry.
All right,
okay.
Oh, God, she never talks about you. Nothing. I'm like, hey, we got to get these guys in.
So that's Kevin James talking about TV star Lisa Remedy. Yeah,
we don't need that. We need to put that in Media Touch?
No, we don't, Rob. That's the whole purpose.
That you can use that, melt it down, and use it as fuel.
Okay. Here's a recent one that maybe has a place. I don't know. You tell me.
Quit farting. Nasty.
That's Anna Nicole.
It's pretty good.
You know, it's one of those that could come in handy.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though we don't play fart sound effects anymore.
Can I hear it again?
Yeah.
Quit farting. Nasty.
That's when she was like big, fat, sloppy Nicole, and she might go back to that.
Don't we have the other one somewhere? Certainly not in this room, but upstairs maybe. Stop looking at my belly button.
Yeah, my belly button.
Yeah.
That's a classic.
Okay. All right, well.
Hold on to that.
Keep that one in purgatory.
Right.
That's like halfway between heaven and hell. Oh, look at this. Did you see this one?
Yeah.
Now, how long have we had this one, for goodness sakes?
Pagan Stevens, don't be so tight. Give my daddy more money.
That's my kid.
Yeah. But as much as you know, I'm fond of your boy, it's you might want to take that home and keep it, but mm-hmm. it's not. Because of the man that is mentioned, it's no longer relevant to the show.
But I'm gonna keep it because I'm sentimentally attached, and also as his voice continues
to get lower,
right. It'll be funny to hear.
Pagan Stevens, don't be so tight. Give my daddy more money.
Okay, so will you give me that one in the
Of course I will. It's your son. How could I not?
And I'll give you one too.
That's fine.
There's one that we're split on. Let's see. How about this one? What is this one? Ain't they jerks?
Ain't they jerks?
Oh, God.
I listen to them all the way home from work.
Well, you know, that's time.
John and Mike on WJFK. Ain't they jerks?
The fabulous Holly Garber and Lou Frang, and Holly is no longer with us.
So we keep that one for settlement reasons.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
That one. And you know, I don't want to throw in a plug for the closed restaurant, but you know that Holly's got a son who is also a singer and is playing now and plays out at the restaurant once in a while.
Good.
And his son looks exactly like him. It's great.
Here's a tape of the major effing star Dennis Murphy, apparently when he was on some local newscast.
Being warm up there. Murphy frequently appears on the nationally syndicated Don and Mike radio show and here locally on The Peak. Tomorrow he promises to fill in the rest of the country on how he overthrew the ball by about 5 feet or so. But
he's a little worked up about
it. Yeah, really important. Warm out there tonight. Yeah. Very warm.
I don't think we need that within the...
I think we can put that in the trash heap.
We don't need that within the computer. I don't think
so. No.
Here's one that says, Ken Stevens...
How'd that not go in, Rob?
I don't know.
Here's one that says, Ken Stevens...
I was throwing in the trash.
No, it took a bad bounce. You'll remember this. This is a song we used to close the cavalcade with.
Ken Stevens, The Plan.
Ken Stevens, you cheap SOP. Give Don and Mike their bold eye today.
Yeah, we can lose these.
Bye-bye.
I wouldn't mind some new songs with people writing bad stuff about Alan Wagwan, though.
All we have to do is solicit for that, and we will get that local talent.
Oh, no, I don't think we're going to ever do the homemade jingle contest again. The last time we did it, it ended up awfully.
Wonderful stuff.
If you love them, just say so to the big boys at JFK.
All right, Rob, ready? Here we go. Going to bank it off your head. Ready? And...
Bingo. Two. Swish.
Swish, baby. And then we have one more to listen to today. This would be a tape of us from... Any idea the year of this?
If that's Goodman, it's probably like 1988.
1988.
Mm. That works great.
Oops.
Held up over the years.
Well, maybe we're not going to be able to hear that.
It sounds good.
This would be why they've been screaming to go digital for years. Because what you're hearing now...
Well, the tapes are getting old, too. You know.
Yeah.
When they get to be 20 years old, they get to
never mind.
Tell me about it.
It's going to be too great, though.
Yeah, I want to hear it now. Now it's a quest.
Okay, now it's like the other day. Now, except poking at a touchscreen, Rob's getting one of those teeny tiny...
Screwdrivers.
Yeah.
Do you have a razor over here, Mike?
I don't, Rob.
Rob?
I have a nail file.
Let's let it go.
I'll never let it go.
Let's let it go till tomorrow.
He'll take it home.
Let's all meet tomorrow. Even though it's Saturday, let's all come in on Saturday.
What was the tape labeled?
It's an air check of us doing our morning show, apparently spotlighting a former general manager, Alan Goodman.
Here you go.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. Honey! Okay.
That sounds funny right there.
Okay. Give me one more try.
Rob.
One more try.
God, it's not going to be worth it, Rob.
Try one more time.
Okay, enough.
All right, thank you. That was good.
However, this one also goes to purgatory. No, Mike, we're not throwing this one away.
We're not throwing that away?
Yeah, I think we should have some old...
some nostalgia?
Some old scrapbook stuff.
Why not? I bet it's good.
So there you go.
Hold on to the unplayable tape.
Well, you'll be able to fix it at some point.
No, I've given up on it now. I've used all my tricks.
All right, what about this one? This is Dustin Hoffman giving a speech where he was either drunk or high.
Hmm. Welcome.
Oh, we have to keep this.
Welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah, I remember this. I remember this.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hey.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know about you,
But I can't think of a more fitting way to open this show than with Simon and Garfunkel, who defined a generation.
And did we ever figure out
drunk high combination?
No, no, drunk,
very drunk, yeah. Very drunk.
What?
What, Dustin? Well, this goes on like for three more minutes.
Distance,
I love this.
They think I'm Justin Timberlake.
But we'll save it.
Oh.
Well, Mike, it's got another.
For the first time ever.
2 minutes.
In the history of the 45 years the Grammy Awards have been going on. I was one when it started.
No. I got hiccups.
This show is being hosted by nobody.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Except.
It's like trying to cut off a drunk.
By the people of New York City.
We'll cut it there with the gratuitous applause for
New York City.
Although later when I think we when he's talking about Gwen Stefani, he does do the hey baby,
hey baby, hey baby, hey.
That's a keeper.
Cool.
That's a keeper, my friend. And Mike?
Yes.
Mike?
Yeah, hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, right.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Yeah, there's the door.
Nice canned applause.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636.
Stop everything. Stop everything.
Really? I thought it was going well.
After all that.
Okay, I see the problem. The problem there, blame it on this right here.
Operator error?
This big, meaty right hand.
Does it need the screwdriver?
It does not.
Is it tension?
It does not need the screwdriver.
Now, let me see. Watch, I'll do it in order. Everybody loves Don and Mike should be first. Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Right. And see, oh, you just got to hit them. You can't, like, hit that, and then hit another one real fast.
No.
You can't overlap. You can overlap a little bit, but you can't overlap a lot. And when you overlap, you got to make sure you're hitting the right button, like that one.
From a true story, he was a neo-Nazi.
I got it
with
down.
One true enemy.
Right.
Himself. A man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs.
What, somebody cut one?
Once you hear them, you'd like to spit your dinner out. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello. Oh, hi. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, and thank you for listening to this episode of Don and Mike Show on this Friday. 07-09-04.
I got on my bus for Burbank here.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. I'll get the swing of this. Today it's not the technology, it's the man behind the technology.
Went pretty well.
Let's see, there you go. There's,
hello.
There's hello, I gotcha. And then there's the Rob thing. Beautiful. There we go.
Thanks. Look around cafe.
Got it all within the touch of a button on top of the world.
Very good. You got it together.
As Van Halen sings, on top of the world. Here you go. Call us from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From Canada, please to be calling 800-636-1067 and Washington, D.C. on WJFK-FM, call 202-432-1067. I have so many things of a personal nature to bring up with so many people on this show today. What happened to
the screen just sagged.
Oh, dear.
There it is. Hold on.
It just tilted over while you were talking.
Okay, pal. There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
Hey,
it's
pal.
Good. Yeah. I'm talking to it like it's a dog.
It's perfect, pal.
Come on, computer.
It's good. Sorry. Everything's working well.
Okay.
A lot of things to talk about.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Buzz.
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, you know what?
What?
Boy, I wish I wasn't so goddamn anal retentive. It's just sloped down just ever so slightly.
It needs to be tilted back a little bit, and there's probably something behind it to tighten it a bit. Let me see if I can get that for you.
Screwdriver.
How many DJs does it take?
Hey.
Sorry.
Watch it, you.
Watch it.
Now, it really does take two.
Watch it, or we're going to turn you into the rugby police, Buzz.
I believe that requires a wrench to tighten.
Oh. Right. Well, either way, I'll make it do. Working with...
You'll make do?
Yeah. I'll pretend like I was on the TV show Batman.
Uh-huh. Right.
Remember on Batman when they would fight the bad guys and they would move the camera sideways so the room looked like it was on a tilt?
Damn.
Gotcha. Like the comic book. Like Stan Lee.
Right.
Who I wrote a love letter to today. I mean, we generally write, when we've had someone on the show, we generally write like a thank you note saying, thanks for being on the show. We'd love to have you on again.
Right.
Beth Ann said, would you like to write anything, a personal note? And it ended up being something that I could print in letters to Penthouse.
So you were very excited about
it. Yeah, I was more than excited.
Sure.
And excited about the show today, am I? You bet. And I'll tell you why. Besides our many guests and our many bits, I've got something for me, for you, for Rob, for B.A. I want to ask everybody something about, and even Buzz. And I'll start with Buzz with the rugby uniform you're wearing today. We've all noticed the rugby shirt.
Yes.
The not exactly matching rugby shorts and work boots today, right?
No, not work boots, just black sneakers and black socks.
You look like something from the cast of Dodgeball today.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm ready for kickoff.
That's the look. That's the look.
Yeah. Summer, it just seemed like a good idea.
And Buzz is wearing swag today.
Oh, that's right. Free stuff.
That's right.
Notice, Mike, I'm not busting you on that.
Because now you know.
That's the wise guy way.
It's used.
That's
right?
Swag.
Did I tell you the derivation of the word swag?
What?
I found out pirates used it. Stolen without a gun.
Stolen without a gun.
So just free stuff.
So like when they board a ship and it had been already taken over.
Right, they just take it.
And that's why we had this discussion because it was the Jolly Swag Man.
That's right.
The Jolly Swag Man. Oh, well, Robbie?
Still doesn't explain why he's dressed like a rugby player.
Well, I know why he is, because the shirt was free. Right?
Right.
Yeah,
from
but
HBO.
It looks good on you, though.
Yes. Thank you. I like it.
So, okay, Buzz is dressed like a rugby player. I have a diagnosis on my wife, and I'm not even going to call her now, but I have a diagnosis on her.
Oh, good.
Over the last, I'd say, 30 days, I've described her while the whole time, you know, professing my undying love for her, which is true. It'll be 23 years, God willing, next month.
Wow.
So I love her more than anything, but lately she's just been like nails on a chalkboard in very subtle ways. And I called her a snob, and then we decided, no, the snob wasn't right. She was spoiled.
Right.
And then she's had the whim-whammies, and today we were sitting up in the computer room, and now we'd be talking, and then I'd type something, and she's on her computer, I'm on mine. I would just hear, I'd say, what? She'd go, nothing, I just sighed. And then we'd go back, I'd be typing, then I'd hear, and I'm not exaggerating,
right,
because even she had to admit that she...
They were loud sighs.
She was sighing.
Wow. Loud, desperate sighs.
And I believe what it is she's not there yet, but I believe it's a midlife crisis. You don't hear about this happening to broads a lot.
Well, that wouldn't be a sigh, though. A midlife crisis would be more significant behavioral change.
Well, you know, there have been things that I haven't mentioned.
Oh, no, you're sorry. Really?
Sure you sigh if you have a midlife crisis.
Well, you've been in yours, aren't you?
Oh, God, yes.
Haven't you been in yours for 11 years?
Well, look at how I'm dressed. What do you think?
Right.
And I'm talking about girls now because here's the thing. I used to think the midlife crisis was just a guy thing. Uh-huh. But no, my wife...
Some might say my whole life is a midlife crisis.
Hey, and Tiger, do we love you for that?
Yeah.
So she... went out and got a little sports car, which is what a guy normally does when he has a midlife crisis.
Exactly.
And she's working and she's liking that. And then, we had that ridiculous discussion a couple of months ago about having some rock star perform on her 50th birthday.
And that was her 49th birthday. Yeah, she was talking about that.
Right. The 50th birthday still is not for another, 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
The latest I've heard is... that what she would really like to do is go on a safari to Africa.
Oh, God.
For her 50th birthday. Mm-hmm. Now, under normal circumstances, I would think either, one of the two S's, snobby or spoiled.
Right.
Don't think so. She loves nature.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it is that she feels the walls of life coming in on her, and she wants to do everything that she can possibly do.
Mm-hmm.
And I interpret the sighs as she sits at the computer and pays bills and looks out the window. Every one of those sighs is just... The good part is over.
It will be. Yeah.
That's how I interpret it. And that
she wants to do these things before she dies?
I believe so, and that is the diagnosis. Now, I'm not going to Africa, for God's sake. I said I'd go to Africa. Is there a Ramada Inn?
You wouldn't want to rough it, huh?
Do they have ESPN?
You wouldn't want to be out there on the Serengeti in a tent?
No way.
No.
But anyway, it's her, and I've diagnosed it, and it's a midlife crisis, and you don't often hear this happening to women.
Right.
But it's happened to my wife, and I have to do something to snap her out of it.
You may not be able to do that.
No. Well, I'm trying.
She just needs to explore and adventure and do those things on her list.
I'm trying, and she's sighing.
Mm-hmm. That's got to drive you nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. And
well, you're doing it while you're in proximity to hear it, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although I've heard her do it on her own.
Really?
I've heard her do it on her own.
And she didn't know.
You've gotten a candid sigh?
Yeah. Yes,
that'll be her new TV show, Candid Sigh.
So anyway, that's the update on her. Wow. I don't know what she's doing right now, but I'm sure whatever it is, it has something to do with this impending midlife crisis, which incidentally would mean she'd live to be 100. Not a chance.
You never know.
I mean, she keeps herself in great shape.
Society's
but,
getting healthier.
But not
me, though.
But not a chance. And yes, now here is the next item of business. I'll tell you how this happens across my desk. Sitting at home, phone rings. It's best friend Rob. Hi, Rob. He says, hey, let me tell you what just happened.
It's best friend Rob with some exciting news.
Breaking news.
And don't tell me that's not how it went down. It was so obvious, both of you guys.
You're right.
Are you okay, smirk?
He calls me up, Rob calls and says, John, our production guy, was just answering request lines, like at 11 o'clock.
Let me explain something. I'd like to say something here, okay? Rob and Don are best friends, okay? They talk all the time. Okay. And one of the things that they share, and I've observed this, what they share above all else is a joy. And it's a playful high school kind of joy at the misfortunes of others. And even if those we love. Absolutely. Even those they love. And what's funny is after this incident that Don will describe calmed down, I really started to reflect on this and got just mildly PO'd at the whole thing, but then got then laughed at it again because that's just the way they are. So I just wanted to say that I had planned an elaborate ruse when I came in here regarding this. I decided not to do that, but I could when Rob, and who is a little bit more transparent than Don is, called me, it was like, hey, is everything okay?
Okay,
but make sure you call me and let me know, that kind of thing.
Well, you got to know the setup. So here's what Mike's talking about. Rob calls me and says, John, our production guy, for whatever reason, he's answering the request line, like during the Bill O'Reilly show.
Okay.
When no one's calling.
Yeah.
So he's wondering who's on the phone. He just picks the phone. WJFK. And the person on the other end of the phone says, is Mike there? And John Norman says, Mike who? And the guy says, Mike O'Mara, Donna Mike Show. And John Norman says, no, he's not here. Can I help you? Guy says, yeah, I just want to let him know I'm driving by his restaurant. There's about 8 fire trucks and 2 hook and ladders out there.
Oh, dear.
Right,
right.
So, Rob...
So here's the deal. And let me just interject again, all right? So,
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
So, I guess Rob gets this news from John Norman.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the logical call would be to call me, maybe, and let me know. But why do that?
You want to check your call log and know that
did you call me first?
Twice before I called.
Okay, all right.
You should say to me,
yes,
that you are
what?
Sorry, because I did call you first twice.
Oh, Rob, don't get sensitive. You know the way it went down, Rob. Seriously, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it doesn't bother me. But it amuses me.
Hey, if I could just jump in for a second, Mike.
Yes, yes,
please. I thought we were best friends. I thought you would call me first if Mike's restaurant was burning.
Yeah. You saw no smoke.
Right.
So I called him.
All right, look me in the eye and tell me that when you called Don, there was absolutely no levity whatsoever.
I can't look at you guys.
All right? All right, get away from the microphone. Enough of that. I don't give a goddamn whether you call me first or not. That made me laugh after I, because it's the way you two are. Because then I get a call from Don, and I forgot what you said. I forgot what you said. You said something along the lines of, I think you said to me, I have to say, first of all, it's a gas leak. That's what it was.
And everybody's okay.
Yes, everybody's fine. We're repairing it. There are people back in there. We're not open yet, but we're repairing it right now. It was not a, 12-alarm fire, as was speculated on. Don's called to me, and all of this goes down, like, during the time I'm in the shower. I got six messages. I got the phone beeping, ringing here, and Don's first words to me, with just a slight smile in the voice, are you okay? No.
Are you okay?
And I'm at the house, and it was, I think everybody... Although there was concern, and Rob, if you called me first, that's fine. But I know you called me first to find out if everything's all right. You also called me as a broadcast journalist in that regard. All right, so don't lie to me about that. But the truth is, you're fact finding, pal, and don't tell me you're not
guilty.
All right?
Yeah, guilty,
all
right. But it was also serving as a heads up. But
yes,
guilty.
Okay, very good. So, and I laugh at that because I know that the two boys are going back. Hey, Don, it's Rob. Restaurant's on fire.
Yippee!
No, it was just...
No. Just take the yippee out.
Okay.
If you take the yippee out...
I'll take the yippee out, and what there is silence, and then a... like that laugh.
Okay.
I know you guys. It's the way you are. It's the way you are. It's okay. I can deal with it. And I was... I had just gotten off the phone with Jeff, the guy that runs the restaurant out there, and he had told me that what the scenario was, and I would like, if you would allow me, because of all this joy that was brought your way,
thanks.
I would
look around cafe.
I would like to at least hopefully make the announcement when we open the doors again for that. It might be tonight. It might be tomorrow night. I'm not sure, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
See, the humor in it for
safety
me
first.
That's right.
The humor for me was, God forbid, that there was a fire at your place.
Well, and also what the guy had said, that there was a hook and ladder out front. I said, it's a one-story building. it's a little tough for the hook and ladder to be.
But as Alanis Morissette would sing, it's ironic, don't you think? Actually, it's not ironic. It's just twistedly funny that some guy driving down the road would call the radio station at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 hours before our show.
Right.
On the request line.
Asking for me.
Hi, is Mike there? Mike who? Mike O'Meara. No, he's not here. Oh, well, just please tell him. I'm driving past this restaurant. There's a fire truck and two wicked ladders out there.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry. That's why I'm laughing.
Yeah, it's a mind picture
thing.
Yeah,
because it's just a listener driving by.
Of course.
Hey, that's Mike's restaurant. Hey, those are fire trucks.
Now, if the picture somehow developed into me sitting on a pile of smoldering ash, it's still funny, isn't it? Yes, sirree. Fun for the whole gang. It's been a rather, and I am not telling, I have not told you this even in the office, it has been a rather tension-filled morning, just getting all the things. But you know what? I got a great group of people, and everybody is handling this and doing
it. You asked for it, Rocco. You have it.
It's very, very cool.
The restaurant.
And the thing is that O'Meara's has had just like one of the best weeks we've ever had. And
I'm look around, cafe.
I'm very excited about it, and hopefully this thing will be taken care of. And you got to get it fixed, and then you open the doors again. That's right. The way it works.
And listen, as long
and nothing went kaboom, so I'm very happy with that.
That's
so,
cool. As long as they're in there, and they'll be looking to make sure that the gas leak or whatever the problem was.
Right.
Keep an eye out for the BUGS. That's all I want to say.
The gas kills
thanks
most
so
of
much. I truly see. I get the real name out there, and I get a BUGS. That's the trade-off. That's the way I do it.
Well, that's kind of how it works.
It works that way. O'Meara's bugs. There you go. It works that way. It does. But I would ask, please to allow me if I do get the word during the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we're kind of working feverishly to get that taken care of. We've gone from light commercial to this is a heavy commercial job. So this is what's going to be done.
Wow.
Gotcha. Well,
I thought it was just screwing a pipe.
We need some inspiration. Rent that Disney movie, The Bug's Life. A Bug's Life.
Stop it! Stop!
Okay, I'll stop.
Enough. I'm having a tough enough day.
I know you are.
Thousands of dollars. Blowing out the window.
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
Every second that restaurant is closed.
Every grilled...
Hundreds of thousands of dollars could be lost this weekend, but I'm going to maintain.
Grilled chicken Caesar sandwiches going to waste.
You know, the first clue, though, was from the chef who was back there, you know, where all the lines come into one place, who looked at me and said, "You're crazy." "I like you." "Oh, you're crazy, man."
I'll tell you who stood up for you, though. Oh, we got it.
Hey, be careful with that. That's the most powerful trank gun on the market. Huh, got her in Mexico.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They say it can puncture the skin of a rhino from a...
Ow! Yes! That's awesome! What? You just took one in the jugular, man! Whoa! Yes! Is this bad? You should pull that out.
Wait. Pull it out. The dart, man. You got a dart in your neck. You're crazy. You're crazy.
This is your guy.
Yeah, I like you. But you're crazy.
Yeah, I love that thing.
Yeah.
I feel tired. I was going to tell you, you know who did bust me on laughing on that?
Who's that?
And I felt bad. Was my kid.
Oh, really?
That I was sitting there just getting done having lunch, reading the paper, and he was getting ready to leave the house, go to work, whatever he's doing. And he stood there for a second, and he was listening to me on the phone, and then I hung up, and I was going to call you, and he said, "Dad, what's going on?" And I said, "Well, some listener called, and maybe Uncle Mike's restaurant is on fire."
Yeah.
And then you should know he stood up for you.
Good, Bart.
And he said,
"Thank you, Bart."
He said, "Dad, that's awful."
Yeah.
That's right. I don't really think it's on fire.
Right. Oh my God. Well, all is okay.
Well.
And in any event, I'm insured.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
Which could be how a fire starts in the future.
Stop. Give me in trouble.
Give me in trouble, man. Give me in trouble. You're crazy.
You know, I will call the midlife crisis if she'll pick up and see how if she'll give you what my reaction was. Because I don't know if I laughed with her when I told her
okay
about your restaurant. I don't know.
I love to hear Rob's line, opening line, when he told you. I'd pay $1 million. Probably won't ever hear that, but I'd love to hear it. I'd love to know what words were said.
You know, I really don't remember. Hello?
There's the sigh.
Hi, baby. You know, I really don't remember what... Mike, I swear to God, I'd tell you if I remember.
You want to hear something funny?
No, it wasn't something like that.
No.
No, I remember what it was. Have you talked to Mike today?
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. All right.
And I said,
all right.
Yeah, I spoke to him about 10 o'clock this morning.
Right.
And then Rob said, "Did he mention anything to you about the restaurant?"
Wow. And it went from there.
That's how it went. Hey, baby.
Yes, darling.
When I spoke to you about Mike's restaurant, was there laughing? You can be honest.
Yes.
Okay.
There it is.
All right.
It's the way, you know how when he's laughing and he's trying not to laugh?
Yes,
he's
trying to be serious, like somebody's got a brain tumor.
Yeah, he's trying to make his mouth turn down and it just won't.
Yeah, believe me, I've seen it many, many times. And he's done that in front of me. You would do that in front of me if it was like burned. You would like, be really? You're trying to force your mouth.
Stop it, you're killing me.
Oh, it's very sad. Very sad to know someone so well. And you know what? It's the way, you know, really, you wouldn't wish ill on me.
Of course not.
But initially, it's you can't help it. You can't help it. And that's just the way, you know, I'm kind of the same way. So,
I know if the tables were turned,
I'm
don't
kind of
you
the
think
same way.
I don't know.
I really am kind of the same way.
And don't you think, like, for instance.
Why is that? I mean, you know, that do you realize that makes us both a little abnormal? I
know. No, Rob knows there's a German word for that.
Yeah, Schadenfreude.
What's that?
Shameful joy.
Shameful joy.
Making joy in the unpleasantness of others.
Yeah. And we all do it.
Oh, God.
We're all as guilty as... It's terrible.
Yeah, it really
is.
Horrible,
foundation of the show.
Thing.
It's a terrible... Hey, you know what? You won't hear this kind of honesty on any other radio show, though.
So again, Rob, what is the motto of this show, the mantra?
Schadenfreude. Shameful joy.
Shameful joy.
Will you
write it? Boys of shameful... You're the shameful joy boys.
Would you please write that phonetically in German for
you
me?
You bet.
Thank you. Listen, midlife crisis?
Yes.
And do you agree or disagree with that?
No, I don't think I'm having a midlife crisis per se. I'm always sigh when I'm sitting paying bills because it's not something I enjoy doing.
Yeah, but you sigh a lot. I mean, I have brought that. Oh, thank you, Buzz.
Sure.
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. I believe that's what
Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude. That's it. Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
So,
hey, I wasn't laughing.
No, she didn't laugh, Mike. She didn't laugh at all.
She's a sweet lady.
She sighed.
Yeah, I sighed for you.
All right, well, listen.
I've been doing that a little bit today, too.
No matter what you're going through now, and is it a midlife crisis? Is it the whim? Because I ask you all the time, you got the whims. So this is not just something that happened today.
Well, there have been a lot of changes in my life in the past year. I mean, it was a year ago we were getting ready to send Bart off to college.
Well, listen, I know you love Bart more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you'll chill when he goes back to school?
Yeah, I think that adds a little tension, having a big grown man-child in the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know that was weighing heavily on your mind today when you looked at a calendar and said to me, oh, August 15th is when he has to go back to college. So I know that it's way
basically
up,
a month.
It's way up there. All right, listen, darling. What do you say for tomorrow night? It's your choice. It's our date night. It's our movie night.
Right.
What's your choice? Is it going to be Fahrenheit 9/11 or is it going to be Anchorman?
I do want to see Fahrenheit 9/11.
It's your choice.
Anchorman's supposed to be really fun. Let's go for the laughs.
Okay, you got it.
All right, my boo-boo.
Okay.
Bye, sweetie.
Okay, but I'm proud of you for making that decision.
I know.
Okay.
I know. It's the decision you wanted to.
No, to be honest, I like both movies. See, this is... My wife has problems making decisions, even on something as simple as what movie we're going to see tomorrow night.
Really? I thought she was very decisive.
No, absolutely. To the contrary.
Really?
Yeah, she will just...
Like me.
She'll just chew it and wonder about it and go, what if? And then the qualifier at the end was, she says, Anchorman. I go, okay, great. Because that's the one that... She lays it on me. That's what I wanted to see.
Right, right.
I want to see them both equally, but you just pick, right now, make a decision. Which movie are we
going
to see?
For the last.
She's going for the laugh. She wants to laugh.
Okay, so it's Anchorman.
Right.
All right. I would predict, really, if you're like most Americans, you would, regardless of your politics, but I know your politics kind of, you'd leave Fahrenheit in kind of a bad mood, as I did. Fahrenheit 9/11 puts me in a little bit of a bad mood.
Right.
There's no joy.
Oh, we don't need that in our house right now. In the house that Cy built. All right, baby. Thank you. I love you. I'll see you.
All right. Goodbye, sweetie.
Okay, see you.
Although it has moments of shameful joy.
It has moments of shameful joy and moments of comedy.
Yeah.
Moments of Schadenfreude.
Right.
Hello. One call before we go to break. Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, radio gods.
Howdy.
Hey, Don, do you remember the time that you relayed that story about how you got both your, when you were real little, got both your ankles broken when you got them caught in the spokes of a bicycle tire?
Listen, we could go.
There are so many examples of me laughing at Don's agony.
Absolutely.
What about the drowning?
The near drowning. The drowning, yeah. I laughed at.
And that's when you laugh at, like, for 10 years.
Yeah, I can't help but laugh.
And when Don almost burned his house down, when he piled all those logs in it, you laughed.
Now that was worth laughing at. That was just me being stupid.
I did.
But when I told you the story about when I was 3 years old,
yes,
riding on the back of my mom's bicycle,
right,
I got both of my ankles caught.
And broke your ankles.
Broke my ankles.
He got spit water all over the console. You can hear it over the radio.
I understand your point, sir, and it's well taken.
But it's a part of the naked cruelty that is the joy of the Don and Mike show.
Yeah, it's the Schadenfreude.
Absolutely.
That's it. All right. Auf Wiedersehen.
Later.
Guten Tag. We will be back right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is supposed to be my weekend off. But no. You got me out here dragging your heavy ass through the burning desert with your dreadlocks sticking out the back of my parachute. You got to come down here with an attitude. Hacking all big and bad.
No. I got hiccups.
And what the hell is that smell?
The Don and Mike Show.
Be a dear and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
That was Will Smith on that tape. I've always liked Will Smith. I think he's a good actor. I do like him.
He's a good actor. I like Will Smith also.
Will Smith.
However, he's gone over the edge.
Really? What did he do?
The premiere for his new movie, I, Robot, which looks exceedingly exciting.
I thought you were going to say it looks exceedingly Matrix-like.
It does, but I like that.
Right.
I like that, like with all the robots fighting with him, like all of the guys fighting with Keanu Reeves.
Right.
However, listen to this from Will Smith. I think most people think Will Smith is a regular... I think only you catch that.
Maybe I am. Maybe I'm the only one. You think you were getting it by Will, me also?
Will Smith. Yeah. No, I knew I'm not getting it by you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So anyway, Will S.
Yes.
Most people think he's a down-to-earth guy, even though he's been in some great movies.
Right.
Listen to this quote at the premiere last night of I, Robot. As it turns out, Tom Cruise is there, because Tom Cruise is going to be in a movie with Will Smith's wife.
Right.
Here's the quote from Will Smith. Tom's my man. We've been spending a lot of time together. I don't want to sound arrogant, but there's just not a lot of movie stars in the world. There's really only a handful of people who can relate to what I go through on a daily basis.
Oh, boy.
I'm finding there's such comfort in talking to Tom.
Oh,
listen,
get bent.
Will Smith, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah.
Will Smith, whatever happened to parents just don't understand.
Well, didn't he do a rap song that was kind of bragging about his life?
Yeah, but
it was kind of like
fun. But it was a positive kind of look.
Positive, okay.
I made something of myself without turning into a
without
a
going blue or anything like that. You know,
we're getting ready, I believe, for the summer and fall of Smith, because he's voicing a Pixar movie. He does a cartoon coming up, and I've seen the preview for it, and it's
too bad it's not going to be a Smurf movie, because it could be Smith as the Smurf. So anyway, Will Smith.
So he's swimming in Lake Mead a little bit.
Shame on you, Will Smith.
Talking about being a poor put-upon movie actor.
Shame on you. I don't want to sound arrogant, but there's not a lot of movie stars in the world. There's only a handful of people who can relate to what I go through on a daily basis. I'm finding there's such comfort in talking to Tom.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Okay.
You're a big star.
Right up your nose.
Thanks
rubber
for
hose.
Reminding us.
Mike, here it is Friday, and of course that's Getaway Day.
Yes, it is.
And it's also Naked College Day, and it's also Nude Recreation Week.
Well, Naked College Day, how come it's Naked College Day? Most kids aren't in college.
Hold on, it's Naked College Week. And here's how the
co-eds move out and the nakeds move in.
No, here's the tie-in. The people that run nudist camps and run Nude Recreation Week,
right?
They want to recruit college kids.
Oh dear,
to come join them.
That sounds hinky to me.
So, according to, and we have both these ladies, or this guy and this girl on the phone.
Yes.
Okay. According to Carolyn Hawkins, she works for the AANR, American Association of Nude Recreation. They always send a representative to community colleges in Florida.
Well, I think they're targeting the right group.
Also known as the 13th grade.
Right.
To give presentations on the nudist lifestyle.
And they allow them to come on campus. That's interesting.
They say it's great. You can learn a lot when you're nude because you don't have a lot of stress going on. You relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just want to hang out.
So we have the spokesperson for the Nude Recreation American Association and a guy named Steve, who's the recruiter.
The college recruiter.
So he's the guy that goes and tries to find college kids to become nudists. Let me see if I explained any of this correctly. First, is this Carolyn?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Carolyn. Did I do a halfway decent job of explaining your position?
You did a great job.
Good.
You did a great job.
So you need, well, not you need, but you want college kids to join your group.
Absolutely. We'd like to have the young kids, younger ones.
Everybody.
How young?
Well, we like them to be, college ages 18 and up. So, you know, that's sort of what we target.
Now, why going for the college kids? What's the thought process behind that?
Well, actually, as Steve can tell you, when you speak to him, it's a very stress-free atmososphere.
Let me conference him in here. Hey, Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I got both lines up. So here's Steve, who's actually the recruiter. So, Carolyn, if I was to draw a parallel to, let's say, college football or basketball, you go out, you're the scout, you see Shaquille O'Neal, you say, this is a guy that's got the potential to be the greatest
nudist
of all time.
Right.
And then you send Steve in to recruit him.
Well, actually, that's not quite how it works.
No.
We'd like for it to work that way. We'd just like to draft everyone. But what we do, Steve goes out to colleges and speaks to them, explains to him the stress-free atmosphere of being nude, being at a resort that, you know, you shed your clothes, you shed your stress.
All right, Steve, let's hear your pitch. Steve, I'll tell you that I've got a 19-year-old son. And he's going back to Clemson University this fall for his second year, his sophomore year. Why would my son Bart want to join the American Association for Nude Recreation?
Well, most of these, you're kind of getting it that we're going out and just pursuing them. They come after me, and I've been asked to do all these. It's colleges.
Wait, hold on a second, Steve. They come after you.
Managed classes have asked me to come, and
who asked you to come?
Humanities classes.
Humanities classes. Okay.
Yeah, those are the most that I've been doing right now. There has been one leadership class that they've asked me to speak at, just because I've done a lot of public speaking, and it kind of went back to nudism. And
so they say a professor for a humanities class is sitting there and going, "We want you to come in and explain the nude lifestyle," and then they contact you.
Yeah.
Okay. And all right. Then I apologize for misrepresenting the facts that.
That's okay.
The college calls you and says, "Hey, we'd like to have you come speak at the humanities class."
Do you provide a sack lunch when they when you show up on the campus?
No,
that's just a little joke.
So when you're there, when you're in the group of predominantly what was it, community colleges? Let's say that the humanities instructor gets 20 kids in there. Hey, what's your success ratio? I mean. Do you get 10 of them to sign up? Do you get 5? I mean, what's an average number out of 20 students?
Well, my last kind of speech that I gave, the professor gave the class extra credit if they went out to visit one of the nudist resorts. It's a local nudist resort.
Now, I would imagine it would just be on the surface that a professor that schedules that as a field trip might run into a little bit of an obstacle or two.
The obstacle might be the kids that are lining up to sign up for his class.
I mean, it would seem unusual that would be a field trip. Does that happen a lot?
Well, I mean, when they have guest speakers that come in, and they're like, maybe it's from, I don't know, a different...
Toastmasters or whatever.
Yeah, Toastmasters. They'll go out and give them... It's like, okay, you get 10 extra credit points if you go out to this Toastmasters meeting or something like that.
Yeah, it's extra credit.
So it just happened to be that they went to the nudist resort.
Well, I would imagine that they would be signing up in droves, so, like Don said, to go out and check out a nudist colony.
There's about 14 people who went out.
Out of a class of 15?
Out of a class of, like, 25.
Wow. Doesn't surprise me.
Have you thought about going to, like, for instance, I mentioned my son is a student at Clemson in South Carolina. Have you thought about going to the ACC?
Well, I went, I've been asked by Rollins, and that's a private college, and they've asked me to come out there and speak, and I haven't really had a chance because I've been traveling a lot.
What's your opening line, Steve, when you have a class full of co-eds? What do you say?
I mean, it really depends on what the speech is about. If it's just...
Well, aren't all the speeches about come join us and be nudists?
Well, some of them are just kind of, they start off as question and answer, and then I'll go into a speech.
Do you disrobe while you're giving the speech?
No, I don't want to be too distracting.
Do you bring pictures?
I'll bring pictures of the resorts, but I don't want to, like, freak people out. Hey, Nick.
Brochures, too, that we hand out. We have a general PR brochure that we hand out. We also have from a woman's perspective. You know, like a little brochure that says, "What does Anner do for you?" which we use, you know, for legislative purposes. We do a lot of trade shows, legislative
Shows. Carolyn, tell me about your grandson. You must be very proud of your grandson. He was raised at a nudist colony. A nudist resort, and he loves taking time off from college so he can relax by the pool at his clothing optional club.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. He always said the best way to study is to be stress-free, and your mind is open, you know, and when you're at one of the resorts, you know, you don't have to worry about it.
Who is your dream nudist?
Who, mine?
Yes, yours, your dream nudist.
Oh, I have a lot of them.
Well, give me, who's the A-list, the top of the list, cream of the crop?
Oh, my husband.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Okay, how about someone besides, someone you haven't seen at a nudist colony?
Oh, a nudist resort.
A nudist resort, excuse me.
That's okay.
You don't like, Carolyn, you don't like colony, right?
Well, that went out some years ago.
Yeah. So. And I always thought it sounded kind of interesting.
Yeah, and ours, our resort, you know, that we have, a lot of them have full service facilities.
And frankly, colony reminds me of lepers.
Yeah.
Right, they all lived in colonies, right, as they would slowly fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, so, yes.
Who's Carolyn, who's your dream nudist then? How about Hollywood, movies, TV?
I know my dream nudist.
Oh, who's yours, Steve?
I have to be Bill Gates because I want to see the club he'd build.
So you'd like to see the club that he would build?
Yeah, I mean, he's so rich. I want to see, like, a nudist water park or something.
Yeah, I guess you stay away from the, I mean, you know, I know we're talking about being free and we're not, you know, I know you guys shy away from the whole thing being a sexual thing, but, you know, Steve, to be perfectly honest, is there any particular, like, famous person that you'd like to see nude?
Or would that answer be still Bill Gates?
If it's still Bill Gates, we can accept that as well.
Well, I mean, I've met a lot of people doing this. I've met Paris Hilton. I've met,
You met, oh, that's right. Were you, didn't they go to a nudist resort?
Thank you.
When they were on that show, The Simple Life?
Yeah, they did. I was there for that.
Oh, you were there for that?
Wow.
And they didn't get naked, though.
No, they didn't.
I remember seeing, like, the aerobics class. It was fascinating.
Hey, pleased to be discussing nude etiquette. Let's say that we go to a nudist resort. Should we bring our own towels?
You bring your own towel. You bring lots of sunscreen. You do have to sit on a towel for sanitary purposes.
Yeah. What about the role of fungus at a nudist resort?
Shower shoes encouraged?
Well, yeah, mostly. Most people wear shoes. Of course, we have a lot of showers, so we take a lot of showers. You know, it's... When you're outside playing tennis or something like that, the minute you get off the tennis court.
I got to think the word that you don't want to hear if you go to a nudist resort is ringworm.
Yeah.
That would be nasty.
I don't want to hear that whether I'm at a nudist resort or not at a nudist resort.
Are there any famed nudists throughout history? For example, Ben Franklin, anyone like that?
Yeah, Ben Franklin had participated in nude recreation. And there are a few others. And
Ben Franklin really produced, he participated, I just threw that name. Rob wrote that down for me. That was a joke, right?
So we're told.
So you do. Any other famous nudists throughout history?
We do.
What about LBJ?
I don't know.
I know that the White House pool was a
White House pool, that's right.
Yeah, that's true. The White House pool was what?
A nudist pool. You had to be naked.
Under whose administration?
I remember reading it, and it was something that I had...
Taft?
I'm not sure.
I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt.
Maybe it's, how about Nixon?
Hey,
it might still be a nude pool.
It might still be.
No, I bet. I tell you what, I bet it was for the last 8 years, but
yeah,
for the last three, it's not.
No way.
The last three, they've filled it with seen men.
Well, you just never know.
All right, well, and Carolyn's and Steve are... Are you naked now?
No, we are nude when possible and clothed when practical. And right now we work in town, so we unfortunately have to have our clothes on.
All right, I've got this a very, very easy question to answer, I would think. When you approach someone and say you're a single and you're at a nudist resort and you see someone that you find attractive, what is the etiquette for that?
Well, actually, you know, it's like a family, basically. You would approach them any other way. You wouldn't just come up to them and talk to them. The best part...
Well, no, it wouldn't be like... Pardon me, Carol. It wouldn't be like a family, though.
No, I'm talking about two singles that might see each other in a nudist pool.
Because you wouldn't walk up to your niece and say, you know...
A lot of the clubs...
Let me just say, unless you were very drunk in front of your wife and family...
And I understand you're saying you're talking about family.
Because I kissed my niece one time.
I know. And you've heard nudist resort are kind of family resorts, but you're obviously... If you want college kids to be there, that they're mostly single. So my question again would be, how does one handle oneself, so to speak, when you see somebody that you're attracted to at a nudist resort?
Okay, the best part about being at a nudist resort, whether you're single or married or whatever, is knowing the person from within, from the heart, not from the clothes that they're putting on, because clothes, we dress to impress.
Where do you keep your change when you're a nudist?
Well, actually, we have a little wrist pack that we sell that has 1-800-TRY-NUDE and AANR.com. So that's a good place. You can wear it on your wrist.
Is it bad etiquette to say walk up to somebody at the pool and say, "Hey, how are you? I couldn't help but I noticed you across the pool. You know, you're very attractive."
Well, you would converse with anyone just like you would at a KOA or any other campground, actually.
Final question here. Carolyn, do you recommend nudism for teens?
I recommend nudism for everyone. And the younger kids are natural nudists. I mean, I have a granddaughter that's 9 years old, and she just, grew up in Maryland, and she just loves to you know, jump in the pool nude.
Okay.
Natural nudist.
And do you find that people give you a hard time about this?
Well, actually, like, Steve was born and raised, well, he wasn't born at a nudist resort, but he was raised at a nudist resort from the time he was two.
Were you nude schooled?
No, they don't have schools there.
You know, I meant were you homeschooled? If you were homeschooled, then you would be nude schooled.
No.
I went to regular school and got picked up in front of a nude resort.
Steve, did you hate wearing clothes?
It was kind of a. It depends when, because I mean, me and a bunch of friends went to like Wet n Wild around here, and it was kind of.
Hey, Carolyn, from a dollars and cents standpoint, how much do you save, you think, on dry cleaning and, like, detergent?
Well, we really like clothes, so we don't save a whole lot of money. We still like clothes. We're nudists, but my closet's full of clothes.
What's the big event of the year at the nudist resort of the summer? What's the big summer event?
Well, we're having Nude Recreation Weekend this weekend, and a lot of the clubs do hold open houses, and, you know, they can contact the 1-800-TRY-NUDE for additional information on where a club might be in their area. Or they can check the website at AANR.com. That gives them the list of the clubs. It lists them by state. And they can click on wherever they have an interest and perhaps give them a call. And
all right, well, thank
you.
Can you tell
thank
right
you
away?
Your time.
I'm sorry, I have just one last question.
Yeah.
Can you tell when somebody's maybe at the nudist resort for the wrong reasons, Carolyn?
Well, You can tell, but that usually doesn't happen. I mean, we keep a close eye on all of our folks that visit. You know, like I said again, we're like family, and, you know, there's always a close watch on everybody.
All right, gotcha. All right, well, thanks for coming on the show, Carolyn and Stephen. Good luck recruiting some college kids to join your nudist resort.
Thanks for calling, and when you're ready to come to Florida, let us know. We'll take you out to Cypress Cove.
I'd love to, and I'd love to introduce you to a little something that I do called the D&B dance.
You guys have a good day.
Take care, Carolyn.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
God, I hate nudists.
I love them because
you shouldn't.
So mixed up.
They are, but I mean, you know, they're always like, hey, it's family. It's like, come on.
The whole thing was, she lost me when it was like a 9-year-old kid.
Yeah.
Okay, that's normal.
When I drift away a little bit, too.
I swear, Mike, I did not know about Ben Franklin.
Rob wrote down for me, he said, ask about nudists through history. And he put Ben Franklin down as a joke. Yes, he was practicing nudists. Ew.
I researched it. It's true.
I wonder if that's before or after he had gout.
During.
Nasty.
Phone scan now. Yeah, let's take some phone calls. These are unscreened. Anyone can get through. Our phone number from North America, 877-365-3636, North America, meaning America only. From Canada, call 800-636-1067. Or on WJFK, call 202-432-1067. We'll take your calls on the phone scan in just a second.
Yeah.
And that guy, the girl, the lady, Carolyn,
yes.
Definitely did not mind speaking to her. The guy sounded a little hinky, didn't he?
Yeah, he sounded hinky.
A little bit like, hi.
What's going on there?
I was contacted by community colleges and a private college.
Yes, Bill Gates.
What?
I knew this.
Bill Gates. Wow.
Even nudists can be nerds.
Water slide.
Bill Gates. Buzz was taking notes during the whole thing.
Yeah.
So you know.
Yeah. Buzz is on his way to Cypress Cove for his next vacation.
We'll be right back with the phone scan.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back, everybody. I'm Tom. We're back on live tonight, so the toll-free is up and running, and the color cast is on the air now for the 12th of November, 1997, CBS Radio and Television here in Los Angeles, California. You know, if we were living in the year 1913... today's date would be 11-12-13, but we're not, so it ain't. Anyway, today I did a little thing called the Satellite Radio Tour, where Tom talks with guys and gals on different radio talk programs around the country. And I was chatting with Mike O'Mara and Don Geronimo from WJFK FM in Washington, D.C. And their motto there, by the way, is WJFK, less BS. So I'm sure that Jack Kennedy up in heaven is saying, well, it's the station with less BS.
Yeah.
And And I had an email that ties in with Don and Mike in Washington. A lady wrote in here, a family wrote in, they said, you know, Tom, every night we see you at the show there, you open the show with the wide shot, and we see the gold vase at the base of your chair. For heaven's sake, what is the gold vase? Actually, the gold vase is a spittoon. And what's in here, you see, I take a little breath mint between the office and coming down here to the studio, just in case I want to plant one on a female guest, you know what I mean? And then right before the show starts, because it's not polite to talk with mints in your mouth, we have what is called mint spit, in which I spit a mint into these spittoons. See, they hear them. So one day, this guy Geronimo and Mike are in here from WJFK. They came out for the big primetime tour, where they got to talk with the CBS stars, and the lady who gave them the tour, they said, would you like to see Snyder's studio? And I said, well, we'd like to see, yeah, where he does the show from. They come in, and they come over here, and they see the old mint spit. And one of them says they took a handful of these and put them in their pocket and were passing them out on the plane. Oh, jeez. Strange things on the radio from WJFK, where there's Lasha B.S.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Oh, right, right.
This is ghetto-licious.
Thank you.
Now operating with a 7-day delay. The Don and Mike Show.
Heard across America, Wichita, Kansas. Buzz, it's KFHFM, and that stands for
Kansas' finest hotel, Don.
Right. Sacramento, California, KHTK. And Tampa Bay, WBZZ.
All right.
Some of the stations on the show right now. Oh, phone scan time. Good. 877-365-3636.
Very good.
On screen calls, let's get right to them. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You're on the air. Hello.
O'Mara's on fire. We don't need no water. Let the mother burn, baby, burn.
Oh, God. All right. And the beginning was funny.
There they are.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Fellas, I got a question for you. You're all in a lot of cities. Any time in the future you're going to be in the Chicago market at all?
No.
Any particular reason for that?
We stink.
No, you guys are the best, obviously, which is why I think...
Obviously, we stink. We're not in New York, L.A., or Chicago.
Very direct question, very simple answer.
We're on in a big market, Dallas, in the middle of the night. Two... We're going to be on very soon in Houston, Texas.
Cool.
On a station that I've just been told is a daytimer.
Hey, great.
Are you kidding me?
Well, they can't put us on at night.
Which means that I guess during the winter we'd be cut off like 5:30.
Oh, God.
Well, if Chicago can stand the likes of Kevin Matthews and Manco, I think they'd do pretty well with the Dynamite Show.
I don't want to get into an inside radio file thing, but I think Kevin Matthews is fantastic. I really do.
And you guys hold up just as well as the rest of them. Thanks a lot.
All right, see you later.
I think when you get those large markets, it just seems like they want to make their own cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they want to do.
We're very happy with the way things are going now. Westwood One has been adding stations.
Yeah,
and,
keep them coming. Even if it's a daytimer, we'll take it.
And you can give them the real reason you're not on in Chicago.
A feud with Bozo?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Bozo doesn't like us since we outed him.
Clown.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi.
What up, fellas?
What can we do for you?
Not much. I just want to... First-time caller.
Great. Last-time caller. Hi.
When it takes that long to ramp up.
Yeah.
Don and Mike Show. Hello? Come on. These are on-screen calls, folks.
Hi.
Hello? Yes, hi.
All right. I'd like to say I found a lot of shameless joy when you had to shave your eyebrow.
Oh, Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
Schadenfreude. Yeah, and also,
keep
in mind, it's shameful, not shameless.
Right.
Shameful joy.
Shameful joy.
Yeah,
shameful
he said
joy.
Shameless.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Entirely different.
Oh, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Shameless would be
hey,
what you and I
favorite
do,
favorite nudist, Stan Lee.
What? Pardon?
Favorite nudist, Stan Lee. Oh, yeah.
Stan
Is Stan Lee a nudist?
Well, he should be.
You know,
well, he's 80 years old. I mean, that would be certainly a dried arrangement.
Get to see his webs.
Wow.
Hello, Don. Michelle.
God.
Hello. Phone scan. Up, oh, Marlon Brando checking in.
How you doing?
Or as we saw Jay Dubs write his name down the other day, Marlo Brandon. I'm not kidding.
Oh, that doughy-headed Jay Dubs.
One of the Hefe, who has the late-night show.
The Hideout.
Yeah, they had one of their prep sheets out back in the producer's room. Uh-huh. And I said to Rob, hey, look at this. And it was obviously Dubs, the dumb one, who had written on there that on their show they wanted to talk about
Marlo Brandon.
Marlo Brandon.
I like that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, I saw Anchorman last night.
And how'd you like it?
It is the funniest movie I have ever seen in my life.
Wow, that's
funnier than Zoolander, funnier than Dodgeball. Will Ferrell is a freaking genius.
All right, my friend. Well, now, funnier than Dodgeball isn't saying a lot.
No.
Well, yeah. Well, it was funny at the time, but...
Funnier than Animal House?
Yes, it was funnier than Animal House. Like, it is brilliant.
Skeptical.
How old are you?
19.
Have you even seen Animal House?
Yeah, I've seen it.
You seen it?
Yes.
Was it funnier than Schindler's List?
Yes.
Wow.
Because
okay.
I'm German, and so I love that type of movie.
So you're going to go see Anchorman over the weekend, aren't you, Don?
Yeah, tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because
my wife has made the decision.
Yeah, I think it's sound. And from what I read, you've made the right decision.
Hello, Don and Mike.
My boys, my boys.
Howdy, you're on the air.
How you doing today, gentlemen?
We're doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Fine.
Great. Hey, I just wanted to give you guys a mad shout-out. I just moved from the West Coast, and now I finally get to listen to you guys on good old FM. Old KTHK listener, and I couldn't be happier to hear you guys on FM out of JFK.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Jerry Todd.
See you later. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, when's Jerry Licker coming back from vacation?
What's that?
So when's Jerry Licker coming back from vacation?
Yeah, I'll give you one more shot if that cell phone holds up.
No, he couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's it. He's gone.
Oh, just
hello.
As well.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, no, they put it on screen. He was saying, when is Sherry Licker coming back from vacation?
That's somebody who hasn't listened for a very long time. Yeah.
That's a girl who's not on vacation. Like a lot of people who used to work on this show. She's gone on to bigger and better things. You can see her on Channel 9, I think, doing the traffic.
Channel 9 traffic.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, hi.
Hey, I want to tell a joke.
Do you want to give your phone number out?
Sure, why not?
Of course.
Okay, hold on. We'll have to verify this with Joe and BA. Hold on, I'll come back to you. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
I'm tired. How are you doing?
We're doing great, thanks.
Sacramento checking in with you.
Shocker.
Don?
Yes.
Are you still planning to move out in 4 years?
Hold on, Frank and Rob are doing the dance.
They're both doing.
You know what? It's a Friday, and Mike has added special sexual.
Just yeah. For you, sir.
A little extra venom.
A little sexual venom in there.
A preemptive strike. Mike, you led on that.
That's right. You're a classic Sacramento.
We would look forward to
North California. Vote for him. Vote for the Terminator.
All right, swallow. Swallow all that extra saliva and give it a try again.
Okay.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hi.
Sacramento looks forward to you coming back out and performing another great Las Vegas-style show.
All right, now, how long have you been listening?
Oh, 8-9 years.
Okay, you know, we haven't done a Las Vegas-style show in about 4 years.
What I'm trying to do is get the excitement going again.
Oh, you are?
Yes, sir.
How are you trying to do that?
By calling your national show and
point of
trying
order.
To shame you guys into coming out here.
We have shame us into it.
Shame you.
You said that. You just said that.
Yes. I'm sorry. I misspoke, sir.
Yes, and point of order. The first word he really screwed up when he got a running start was the tricky word Sacramento.
Right.
I'm here from Sacramento. Let me just say that both those guys were doing the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Has BA ever seen you guys do the dance?
The Sacramento dance?
Would you do the dance for Beth Ann?
Wow. Absolutely.
All right, hey,
joyfully.
BA, would you come in and we'll keep this guy from Sacramento on the phone?
Do I have to do the second part of it?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
This will help her understand.
And Mighty Proud Sacramento, don't you have some kind of track or something going on there this weekend? We'll see Beth Ann, you see the dance.
Yeah, I see the little extra thing they added.
Yeah.
It's a remix.
But hold on, Rob, you guys really give her the whole one.
No, I'm done doing that. I'm embarrassed to do it in front of a girl.
Hey, can, I,
You can I say hi to BA?
Hard to fake it, really.
You know, he's just plowing ahead, as they do.
From Sacramento. Beth Ann, he said hello to you.
Hello.
Hey, are you showing everybody a toothy grin right now?
with the teeth that I have left, sir.
Right on. Okay.
All right, go get drunk and pick a fight.
Thank you for the call. Hello. Don Mike Show. Hello.
My brothers, what's happening?
Hey, what's up?
Did y'all catch the hillbilly on Big Brother 5 or whatnot?
Did I or whatnot? And you know what? You are disqualified for saying or whatnot. But listen, here's the twist.
I did not check out the... I don't like the Big Brother. No.
I love the Big Brother. And here's the twist on the Big Brother. That they put him in the house, and there's one guy who really looks like Cletus.
Right.
I mean, he's got on a cowboy hat. Does really kind of talk like this.
Right.
Julie Moonves.
Right.
Yeah. And incidentally, they dressed her up like a cheap Chinese hooker the first night that show was on.
Bravo.
She had on those body sparkle things.
Oh, yeah.
And a nice little one of those Britney Spears shirts on.
I like that. She's a sexy lady.
So anyway, they're saying, like all the other Big Brothers, there will be challenges. They're living in the house together. But this is a special DNA episode. Mm. And I'm thinking, DNA now, what the hell can this be?
Yeah.
As it turns out, the people who are in the house who may get into romantic situations.
Right.
There's a brother and a sister in there, and they don't know that they're brother and sister. Now this is where
I might be watching.
This is where it gets good. They call the cowboy guy, the brother, they call him in and they tell him. So they get him in the room and they say,
some girl in the house is your sister?
They say the girl with purple hair is your sister. We have proof. We have the DNA records.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up to you if you want to tell her or not. He doesn't tell her.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I think eventually he did tell her.
Were they, like, separated at birth or something like that?
I didn't watch enough of it to know for sure.
Wow.
All I know is that last night they had to make a gigantic Charlie-sized margarita. Like
the one you had down in Ocean City.
Yeah, like a fishbowl, right.
Fishbowl margarita.
The thing was 10 feet tall. They had to fill it with I don't know how many gallons of rum and tequila mix and then salt.
That's good.
And then they had a guy dress up in a lime suit and he had to jump inside and find a key or something.
Wow.
I don't know.
Did they get to drink it?
Yeah, they got bombed.
We missed the best part, then, is when they finally revealed that they were brother and sister, he was forced to read a letter from his estranged family. And he reads like Mike reads when he does a character voice of someone who can't read.
So he's having difficulty.
Yeah, you can have another brother and mother. And it was shocking.
Well, this sounds like a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
Big Brother's always been good, and so is The Amazing Race. And we'll have the latest losers from The Amazing Race on, I think, maybe in like 15 minutes. Oh, hold on, from Buffalo, here's the guy that wants to make our weekends with the joke.
Hmm.
Now, keep in mind, if the joke's not funny, we give your number out on the air.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Joe, would you run the number in here, please? It's not up.
Joe.
Oh, you got it? Where is it, Robbie?
Didn't I put it on your screen? Here it is. You got it here.
Oh, you got it? Okay. Thank you.
Buffalo, or as I'm beginning to think about calling it, Buffamento.
Hey, no, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry. No, that was totally uncalled for.
That's disrespectful to Sacramento and especially disrespectful to Buffalo.
It's just a little joke.
Come on. You like Buffalo.
I do. I love Buffalo.
We've been to Buffalo.
No, I love
it. Like it.
I love Buffalo.
Not like Sacramento.
No. It's just maybe it's been the last couple of days, just a couple of callers.
All right. Well, listen, here we go. Let's hear the joke. If we laugh and we'll give it our best, our best possible, you know, mental outlook. If we laugh, fantastic, you win a prize. If not, we give out your phone number and people will call you all weekend.
All right,
let's go.
Okay, what does being with a woman and eating Kentucky Fried Chicken have in common?
I don't know, what?
When you're done with the breasts, legs, and thighs, there's still a greasy box to throw your bone in.
All right, now listen, here's the great thing. You can call this guy.
Oh, come on, that was good.
If you're listening to us on the West Coast, remember, you know, when it's 9 o'clock for you on Saturday night, it's midnight for this guy.
Right.
And when it's midnight for you, it's 3 a.m. for him, and so on and so on.
The password is early Monday morning.
Mm-hmm. And even better, the guy already hung up. But it doesn't matter. We got the number. Area code 716, Buffalo, 570-2217. Again, 716-570-2217. 2217.
Right. Call them and tell them to have a very happy weekend with his KFC.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and about KFC, is there anything dumber than the commercial with Dale Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
I'm down with all the NASCAR guys and the sponsors and the ads, but here's what the ad says. Pull up the Kentucky Fried Chicken and get a bucket of chicken in the special collector Dale Jr. bucket.
Really?
Now,
right.
It is...
You can put your stuff in there.
But the thing is, you ever gotten a bucket of chicken at KFC?
Mm-hmm.
It's a not even plastic.
I had one entire one before the show.
It's a cardboard bucket.
Maybe this one's plastic.
No, they're cardboard.
Are they made out of the cardboard?
Yeah.
They're paper?
And inside, it's just the greasiest mess. And can you imagine going to some trailer park and, you know, some poor schmuck's got like 15 of them up on the wall?
I got them all, the collector's series.
All the Dale Jr. KFC buckets.
Hey, this house smells like breading.
It's bound to invite vermin, but it is a step up from the ad where the Colonel was voiced by Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
And they don't use Randy Quaid at all anymore.
No one does.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
Hey, you remember earlier in the week you guys were telling that dude to jump off the freeway in Stockton?
Yes, sir.
Man, I drove underneath that bridge today. It's 15 feet off the ground.
Somebody had called and told us that the other day when he was doing that, that he might have gotten a severely sprained ankle.
And yeah, the clearance on it for the truck said 15 feet 5 inches.
And somebody should tell the cops, introduce those cops to rubber bullets.
Yeah, or use that thing like they used on Jackass.
Oh, the...
You know, that little, like, bean bag?
Yeah, right.
They shot him, which was really my favorite part of Jackass. No, it wasn't. My favorite part is when they went into the hardware store at where they were selling the toilets.
Hello. Oh, when they went in, yeah.
Oh.
To see if they worked. Yeah. How can you not love that?
How can you not love it?
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, Don, got a question for you. You think you maybe misdiagnosed Frida?
No.
Maybe she instead is going like through menopause or something like that.
No, and I'll tell you why. My wife went through early menopause like 15 years ago. That all played out on the radio as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she took pills for it and everything.
You're right. So now she never gets her period. She just acts like it all the time, and she never gets it.
She experiences the premenstrual tension, though, on a regular basis.
It does make it great for our sex life, though.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if she ever wanted to have sex.
Bada-bing!
Hello, Don and Mike's show. I tell you what, if I had a dollar,
uh-oh,
and I'm serious about this, if I had a dollar for every day since my wife initiated a move on me,
right,
I would be on an island somewhere calling you, Mike, and
right,
saying, if your restaurant burned down, don't worry, I'll buy you five more.
Thanks so much.
If I had a dollar for every single day.
But as long as she responds positively when you initiate, when she deals with the charging bull.
Well,
you'd like to have her initiate.
Well, she never will. She never will. She never does. And even
you never like come into the room and kind of give her a sexy look and give her the opportunity to initiate.
Sure, I do. I do all the time. I did it last night. I did it today. I'm used to it.
Yeah,
I'm used to it.
Get used to it.
It's my lot in life.
We're queer. We're Irish. Get used to it.
I love my wife. And she loves me.
Yeah.
I just think she tolerates having relations with me.
That's sad.
That's how I feel.
But that can't be true. Well, she probably enjoys it.
I don't see how she can, to be honest. I mean, now listen, we don't do the same show that we did before, so I
right,
can't.
Have you thought about spicing it up a little bit? Like, as far as the...
No.
Well, I know we can't talk about the same stuff we used to talk about, but, like, maybe just varying the routine a little bit?
The routine works for me fine.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying that if you wanted her to initiate, if you change the routine, that might change that.
The only thing that she always asked was just make it at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Last night...
The darker, the better.
Last night, it was nighttime, and I'll tell you exactly what I got shot down for.
Nighttime's the right time.
There was a special on Channel 7 on primetime,
mm-hmm,
something about dogs behaving badly, that they put hidden cameras on dogs to see how dogs like rip up people's houses. And that was more exciting.
I agree, Rob. Perhaps a bit down of role-playing. That was Rob's suggestion.
How about I play a fireman?
That's nice. That's nice.
He may have written it, but you read it.
Yeah. Hello.
And Ross,
and I threw him under the bus with it.
And Ross, yeah. For you, how about I play a guy that's having a lawn sale tomorrow?
Suggest the role of O.J. Simpson.
Hello there, Don the Mike Show. Hello. Jesus Christ.
Come on now, get with the program. You're on the radio.
Nah, you're gone. You're Brando. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Hey, you know, that last interview you guys had?
Yes.
Inspired me. I'm naked now at work. It's the greatest.
Hey, good for you. What a great way to end the week.
Exactly.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
What he didn't tell me is he's working at a daycare center.
That's unfortunate.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, boy. I wanted to give you my address so you can mail me my Cadillac.
Oh, this is the guy. My daddy gets a caddy.
He never lets it go.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Got a Mike Buck Nasty with you on a fantastic fun-loving Friday afternoon. Can I get a big bog, two for the road, good guy Friday chime time to start the non-stop part of you till you can't stop.
Yeah.
Jerry Todd.
Nice job, you did. Let's stop right there.
Yeah.
That guy's okay.
He deserves it.
For the weekend. What's your name?
Dean.
Dean, where are you from?
Baltimore.
All right, Dean. Are you listening on Live 105?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that. Congratulations.
Send us some peanuts.
Listen to this. Hold on, Mike.
Who says Dean's peanuts?
Dean's peanuts.
It says we don't give away the big stuff. You have won Slurpees for a year.
Yeah.
Oh, you lucky man.
Right. It's 7-Eleven's 77th birthday this Sunday, July 11th.
I hear that.
And they're celebrating with free Slurpees on 7-Eleven Day. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. Enjoy your year's worth of free Slurpees.
Is there anything better when you're really hot and thirsty?
No, plus, you got the WWE Vengeance Prize Pack pay-per-view this Sunday in your home on in-demand pay-per-view with Comcast or Cox Cable. That's WWE Vengeance. Check your local pay-per-view Sunday night, July 11th.
Get me a great one and a message to all the employees out there that might be maintaining those machines. Keep the machines in working order.
Thank you for listening.
Awesome. You guys rule the pools and reach the beaches, man.
Again.
All right, hold on a second. We'll be back with the latest losers from the American race.
This
Amazing
is
race.
The Don and Mike Show.
The American Amazing Race.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Right here on the Jerry Todd Show here this morning. And we'll play the incredible contest in just a sec. But right now, a little business to take care of.
I always watch the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd weather.
And it looks pretty good, it does. It is going to be cloudy. Don't think it'll rain, though. Let's check the low right now. Overnight low of 45 degrees. That's a little on the chilly side. Checking the high, going to get up to 63 degrees. That's a little warmer.
The Jerry Todd Show.
Okay, here we go. Time to make our next incredible contest cash call. And here's hoping that we have a winner this hour. We're calling at random someone in the local area here on the Jerry Todd Show. And we'll see who we've got on the video phone. Hello. You're on the Jerry Todd Show.
Hello. Who is it?
This is Jerry Todd. Can you tell us how much money is in the incredible contest jackpot this hour? How much money in the incredible contest jackpot this hour? You can win it all if you know the correct figure.
$2,029.
I'm sorry, you are wrong.
Please.
And we will make another call. Next hour, we'll add $10 to the jackpot. Meantime, right now on the Jerry Todd Show, a little more
than Mike Show.
Wasn't quite sure how that would end.
Thank you, Jerry.
Once more, there's the hassle.
That's the wrong button, too.
Reluctantly, here's Don and Mike.
You know who would enjoy this?
Last video from Tom.
God! Stop everything. I just made a mess of that.
Well.
A terrible mess.
Well, everything's new.
Okay, let me try this. Again, I can't yell at the engineers about this.
No. Is this operator error?
Yes. Stupid me! Stupid me! Stupid me! Stupid, 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 dumbass, jerk face, me! See, I can dish it out just like I can.
Yeah.
Anybody.
You can take it.
Yeah, oh, but I can dish it out to myself as well.
That's right.
Jerk face!
Me?
That's good. It's well balanced.
Yeah.
It's like the news network, fair and balanced.
Restaurant fire, not funny!
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Look around, cafe.
Sorry.
I'm having me a day.
I know you are. I know. Let me try to get us out of the spot, so then we'll have the people from the Amazing Race.
The Don and Mike Show.
And then we get this.
The comedy stars of the Alan Line One Radio Funhouse. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
There you go. This would be appreciated by...
Jerry Todd.
There you go.
Very nice.
You got it all together, Don. Trying to put that together.
Way to go, Don.
Here now. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Here's Dennis and Erica.
Hey, what's happening?
First losers from the Amazing Race. Hey, kids. How you guys doing?
Good. Doing all right. We're doing all right. We're still recovering.
Now what's you guys, just to update here, your status is what? You guys were together? You were engaged? What is your thing?
Well, yeah, we were together for about 5 years and then got engaged. And then after a couple months, broke the engagement off and split up entirely.
And what is your status currently?
Well, we're back to dating again. That's
nice.
But we're definitely not engaged. That's not happening anytime soon.
There you go again. Mm. Just like on the TV show, throwing him under the bus again. There you go. You did that right when they eliminated you.
You know what, Mike? Yeah, that was your comment.
Absolutely.
About them.
Immediately, as soon as he said, you're not, you know, you're the last ones, you said he was too nice, and you were smiling.
Yeah, thank you.
And I know the type you are, because you were smiling when you said it, but you were throwing daggers at him. I don't care how much you were smiling.
I wasn't, because I know him so well, that it's his personality, and we joked in all of our pre-interviews that... We kept making jokes that, you know, whenever we get eliminated, it'll probably be because Dennis gives cabs away to somebody. So it was kind of an inside joke the whole time, and that it ended up happening. So it's a good thing. He's a sweetheart.
Erica and Dennis, The Amazing Race is really the best reality show that's on TV. It really is, and you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. You were the first ones off. You got beat by the moms. Hello, by the moms. And you got beat by the midget.
And the mom.
We had no opportunity to catch up, though. Hey, those moms are tough, and Charlotte is one strong woman. So.
Yeah, and the moms, I mean, when they were on that bungee jump, I think it was a weight issue that they, I mean, everybody else, you guys included, kind of eased. Well, did you guys do the bungee jump, or did you do the roulette?
Yeah, we did the zip line. Come on, we're not going to do the roulette.
The zip line, and you guys kind of eased down into the pool, but the mommies, man, I thought they were going to die going down to that pool.
You know, the Amazing Race, there's are there 13 teams? 11 teams?
There's 11.
11 teams.
Yep.
And this time they started in California, and they go around the world. And the producers do things to screw them up. Like on the very first night, they had to run to the car and then run to the airport. And
I was really hoping this couple would win. I didn't want to see the couple where the lady kept saying, Andre! Andre!
Here's the thing. When you get to the airport, the producers of the show said, you know, the flight that leaves earliest was it United?
United left early.
The American flight was the first one to leave.
Either way, whatever airline it was that left first, the producers screwed you over because that plane had a layover, meaning if you arrived at the airport late...
And didn't look at the itinerary.
And you said, I got the flight that leaves later, I'm screwed. Then you realize, wait a minute, we're going to arrive at the location before the people who busted their ass to get to the airport to catch the flight that leaves first.
That's right. The four fastest teams that got there first ended up getting to Uruguay latest.
Is there any relief when you get eliminated? I mean, when you really, because you realize you don't have to do all that crap again?
No.
No, there was no redeeming quality to being eliminated first, right?
Not at all.
What was the process to go through to get on The Amazing Race?
It was pretty intense. It was a big interview process. They screen you, and it gets pretty intense.
We'd actually been really big fans of the show as well, and we had applied for two other seasons and been semifinalists on season 3 and 4.
Eric, have you thought about the fact that maybe you two should just bite the bullet and go ahead and get married? You want to be with him. It's obvious.
I do want to be with him. You're right, but...
I mean, really, this on-again, off-again, we're on a TV show together. You want to be married to him.
Erica, I'm gonna have to disagree with my good friend Mike. I think that, and no offense, Dennis, but listen, I mean, come on. You can't collar in this woman. You can't close the deal. It seems to me that, Erica, you should go the route of, I don't remember the girl's name, but she was on The Amazing Race before, and now she's on Big Brother by herself.
Right.
You should do that. You should dump this guy and get yourself on the next Big Brother.
Hey, don't know about all that. If he would agree to marry me with only like 20 people on the beach in the middle of nowhere, I would do it. But he's 100% Greek, and they all want to have this big fat Greek wedding. So.
Oh, you want to do the big Greek wedding? Dennis, is that the only obstacle?
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but I mean, if it's the only obstacle and you love the woman, I mean, just you know, do it her way.
That's right.
I got too much family. They all want to come.
Wait a minute, hold on, Dennis. You mean you would marry this girl? You love her enough to marry her, except if she just doesn't want to do it like the movie. If she doesn't want to do it like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, you won't marry her?
We might have to reconsider.
Why don't you just fly her out to Vegas or something like that?
Oh, yeah, she would love that. High maintenance. High maintenance one over here. I think she'll go for a...
Erica, you don't like Vegas?
No, meanwhile, I'm the one who wants the small little 20-person wedding, and he's the one that wants the 500 people. Who's high maintenance here?
Ah, that's a good point. Yeah, but these two maybe... You know, I misspoke. They never should be together.
Dennis, why is Erica so high maintenance?
She's ridiculous. She has to have all the designer labels.
Uh-huh.
She has to be spoon-fed her food.
Do you think she might be a snob or spoiled? And I only bring that up because these are words I've used to describe my wife of 23 years.
She's a little spoiled because I do spoil her, but she's tough. Like, she definitely surprised me on the race, so.
And Eric,
when I met him, I was a little farm girl who grew up with nothing, and he spoiled me, so it's all his fault.
Okay.
Wow. And since we've tackled you, Erica, perhaps you could tell us what are the problems with Dennis? What are the things that really frustrate you about Dennis?
You know what? Honestly, I can't even come up
right.
with anything.
Mm. Ain't that always the way it is? Yeah. Not a thing wrong
Perfect.
With the man.
See, poor Dennis, because you know she'll say that on the air, and then you know when they're together an hour from now,
she'll
Dennis will just be
pummeled.
You
can ask him. He's such a sweetheart. He's the nicest guy, and I'm so lucky to have him in my life.
And that's why you've broken up with him. How many times?
Hey, who said I broke up with him?
You know what, Erica?
Oh, okay.
In that case,
okay.
You know, in that case, bite the bullet and have the big Greek wedding.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Nice guys finish last, and that definitely proved true.
Now, were you, but the way I understood it in that episode, you were being nice just to prove to the other contestants that you could be nice because you've been a little pushy before, right?
Yeah, I mean, usually I'm usually the nice guy around other people, and then right off the bat, I had this big blow up at the airport counter.
Mm.
And I was,
oh, that's right. Oh, you had a great fight at the airport counter.
I was proud of him. He was screaming right back at everybody.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's a pretty intense show. And the one question that popped into my mind when I was watching it was, as far as the rap as being ugly Americans, I mean, it just seems like you guys whisk into these countries and just overwhelm people. You know, it's like, andre, get me there. Do you ever run into any problems with the locals?
All the people we came across were so nice. Mm. Everybody was just wonderful.
You know, Mike,
they were terrified.
Mike, I think you'll get the answer that you're looking for when we speak to someone who's been on the show for more than one episode.
Yeah, that's true, because we had really good luck with everybody that we came across.
Yeah, yeah. Even though it was, albeit brief.
Exactly.
Their big excitement was running to the yellow cars,
right?
Then running to the Mercedes, then running to the airport, then losing.
How did the beef smell?
It was pretty bad. Dennis carried it the whole time, so he should tell you more about that.
Erica, we noticed that.
Yeah. When we got there, though, I guess the first group of teams had like 50 pounds of meat to carry. But by the time we got there, all those lighter loads were gone, and we wind up carrying all the heavy loads. So.
He was great.
He had about 85 pounds that he sprinted with the entire way.
I don't even bother trying to explain this to people who didn't watch it, because it's a great commercial for the show. If you just hear these two bickering and arguing, and you know that if you arrived at the airport first, that you lost, and then you had to carry 85 pounds of meat.
There's so much neat stuff to ask, though, when you watch it. When you're doing that not rappelling, but you're going between the buildings, and you're
right.
Pulling that little cord, did it get really difficult towards the end? It looked like it was really a little tougher when you got right to the end of the line.
Yeah, your shoulders started aching a little bit towards the end of that line.
And guys, I'd like to know, seriously, what kind of waiver does CBS, Viacom make you sign before? No, I'm serious, because who's to say that any of those things that you were doing...
Yeah, that could snap.
Right.
Yeah.
What kind of waiver do you have to sign?
It is a long-ass waiver, but they also have people testing everything out in advance, so we know we're pretty safe.
So, you know, but I really thought maybe when the mommies were hitting that bungee cord that we were going to see snap, you know. And then they were going to be about 15 feet shy of the pool, but they'd get down there in a hurry.
You know, there's supposed to be a lot of boing in that bungee cord, but that was more like just...
Yeah. Amazing, it really was. It looked like one of the scariest things I've ever seen on the Amazing.
Still, you got beaten by them.
But they're strong women. They're very impressive.
Very impressive. Were you crushed when you got the news that you were last?
And we were disappointed, for sure. I mean,
we already knew at that point that we were in last place, so we had the car ride to kind of take it in and think about it a little bit.
Okay, so you could put on the brave face so when you got to the guy.
How many months?
Yeah.
How many months or weeks ago did you guys tape your one episode of The Amazing Race?
We were eliminated, I think 6 months ago, so we've had a lot of time to get over it.
Wow. You know what I thought would always be fun? What's the name of the host, Don? Do you know the name of the host that hosts that show?
No, but he's not annoying like the guy on Survivor, and maybe that's why I don't know his name.
I think he's
Phil Kogan. He's a hottie.
He's a little cruel.
His name is Phil something. Is that what you just said?
Phil Kogan, yeah.
Phil Kogan.
I would love to see, like, right at the end, you're the last ones here, and then you just look down and go, okay, and then just belt him. That would be some reality TV.
I would never allow anyone to mess up Phil's pretty face.
Oh, I'll say maybe I see the problem with Erica.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, you see what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, sirree. You have an open relationship, you guys?
Excuse me?
Do you have an open relationship?
No.
Are you exclusive with each other?
Yeah, we're exclusive.
You know, it sounds like there's some just slight hesitation answering these last two questions.
We're just looking at each other, seeing who's going to answer first.
And did you, now, is your part on The Amazing Race totally done? I mean, you don't get brought back for, like, the last episode. You're out of there?
Oh, I can't tell you that. Better watch.
Stay
tuned.
But either way, guaranteed, your faces will still be on every week on The Beginning, right?
You know
yeah,
it.
True. Yeah, that's
all right,
cool.
Good.
Yeah, that's good.
Then listen, if anything does happen with you, and I can't see how that would be unless like they had like a crazy wild card. They said, we're going to pull back the biggest losers that we had.
Survivor's done it.
The two people who...
You never know.
You never know what happens.
Bring back the two people who got beat by the mommies. Let's welcome them back.
And for anybody else, you're happy with the experience? You enjoyed yourselves?
Oh, definitely. We met a lot of great people, made a lot of good friends on the show.
Hey, what about those guys with the pizza place? They seem like real jerks.
They are awesome. They're not jerks at all.
Really?
All right, well, then you've given us a positive. Give us somebody in that group that you really weren't thrilled with. Got to be somebody that annoyed you.
There's always
everybody's
somebody you
really
don't
good.
Get along with.
Everybody's really nice.
No, not everybody really isn't really nice.
All right, button it for a second, Erica. I'm going to ask Dennis here. Hey, Dennis. Dennis, how about the two old guys? You know, the two white-haired guys, were they a little much?
No, actually, not at all.
No, I got it.
Well with them.
What about that old cragged-out military guy that got his knee all messed up?
Jim is hardcore, let me tell you. Watch out for Jim. He's definitely hardcore.
I think that's the closest
that must be the answer.
Either that or the dwarf.
Do they do a pretty fair job in representing the people how they really are when you see it on TV, or do they just mess with you or the people watching the way they present the people that are on the show?
I think they did a great job. Everybody really came across as who they really were.
Why am I picturing a big, you know, big disclaimer in front of them that they've signed so they must say all positive things about the people on the show?
Well, you guys told me to button up when pistol. You ask about people. I'm the one that tells the truth.
Dennis and Erica, if by some chance you get back on the show, we'd love to have you back on. And if they invite you on, like, at the end of the season for whatever the crazy twist is, come on back on.
And also, if you finally decide to get married, you know, and whether it be 20 people on a beach, like Erica wants, or you know, the big
wedding.
Right. Yeah, let us know, okay?
And thank you. Dennis, as a personal aside, if you need someone to talk to after you dump her, you know, give us a call.
Mind.
Give us a call. All right, okay. Thank you, kids.
Good talking to you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Here's the first losers on The Amazing Race,
mm-hmm.
Dennis and Erica. Bye.
There they go.
You're charming.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
They're gone.
A lucky man.
He is. Boy, oh, boy. I just would have pushed her off that cliff when it was time for bungee jumping.
The only time I noticed her was at the very end. I was like, you were just too nice.
He was too nice. And then she's smiling the whole way, going, he's such a big, dumb idiot.
Right. You're right. Mike said that to me the other day after we watched the show. He said, God, that woman. I don't think he called her.
I said
her
that to you before we even knew that they were booked on the show.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And she completely threw him under the bus.
At any point on the first episode, did he talk about what it must feel like to crush a woman's neck with his thumbs?
Rob. Rob, wow. Rob, Rob.
Schadenfreude.
There you go.
Well, that went well. Let's call BA and tell her that was a good booking.
Yeah.
Hey, BA, that was a good booking.
Yeah, they were cute, weren't they?
Do you think that if they told you, are they going to be back on that show or something?
I only asked them if they were still together.
Oh, I got you.
But I have their info.
Here's a question for Beth Ann McBride, our producer. A question that you guys aren't hip to, but I'll ask her right now on public radio, so she will have to answer.
Forced.
Beth Ann?
Uh-huh.
Which do you love more? Who do you love more? Your daughter or your dog?
I love them equally.
You love your daughter and your dog equally?
She was telling me before the show. Now, here's the deal with Beth Ann.
Oh.
Last night...
This is disturbing.
Last night...
I know it would be.
So I were chatting, and I say, what's... You know, I call her, say, you know, what's on the show tomorrow, blah, blah, what are you doing? She says, oh, my dog is... She describes her dog has gotten very ill, and she's finding a vet.
Mm.
So I put her on the phone with Frida, and they talk about it, and you know, they said, yeah, it's gone to a good place, and... And then we hang up the phone, and I come in today. I said to Beth Ann, how is everything at home? And she said, oh, things are okay. The dog is, you know, doing okay. But that her daughter, Jennifer, was upset. That her daughter, because Beth Ann was so absolutely beside herself, you were crying, right, about the dog being sick?
I was distraught.
Of course.
Very distraught. That her daughter, now how old is Jennifer? 19, same age as Bart?
Yeah, she'll be 19.
Right. So she said to Beth Ann, her mom, who do you love more, me or the dog? And Beth Ann, as the mom said, I love you both equally.
Beth Ann, that's horrible to say to your daughter.
That's
very fair.
That's what she said.
And then Beth Ann looked at me. She said, do you think that was the wrong thing to say? I said, baby, that's the wrong thing to say to your kid, that you love the dog equally with them.
Equally. Wow. You mean you really must love your dog or treat your daughter very badly.
I tried to backtrack and tried to rephrase it, and she could just and I said, Jennifer, how can you love something you gave birth to me? This is a dog.
Hey, man, I'm with your daughter.
I know. And but the dog is easier. Than Jennifer.
Of course.
Good point.
Because four legs and a smaller brain. All right. Well, listen, for the record,
yeah.
I guess I already asked you. You answered. But who do you love more, your dog or your daughter?
Them differently, but equally, I don't know how to explain it.
I understand.
Oh, she loves her daughter more than she loves her dog.
I understand, Beth.
Thank you, Bud.
yeah, of course,
and
you understand.
Incidentally, do you have any friends yet?
And I probably don't have a daughter right now. I do have a dog. No, I don't have any friends.
Remember, that was the rap when Beth Ann first got here. She had no friends. Well, you've been.
You know, you might want to do what Wendell's doing.
A month and a half. What's that?
Joining the volunteer fire department.
Is he really?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No. Wendell's doing.
Did she just hang up?
Is she gone?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
That's what Wendell's doing. And I think maybe Beth Ann can meet a lot of new people doing the same thing.
I really don't want to do that.
You don't want to join the volunteer?
Now, all my energy and my focus is on my dog and you guys and Jennifer.
Oh, it's in that order.
You just dissed her again.
She's thought this for... Since we had the dog. I love the dog more.
How long, just out of curiosity, how long have you had the dog?
Since she was 6 weeks old.
And how long would that be?
She's 8.
That's 56 in dog years.
Hold on. In human years, how many years is the dog? How many years?
6. He was right.
How many?
6 years old.
6 years. And your dog?
No. In human years, she's 8.
8.
All right, so you've had the dog for 8 years, and you've had your daughter for 19 years.
Right.
So for the first... 7, 8, 9. Then you loved your daughter more than any other animal.
I got to think. Instead of joining the volunteer fire department,
I wasn't like an animal freak or a dog freak like I am now. So I had the dog.
Maybe instead of joining the volunteer fire department, you should join PETA.
But you know, at the firehouse, they're probably going to have a Dalmatian for you.
Amen.
They're a tough breed.
Tough breed. Not if you love them most.
What breed is your dog, Beth Ann?
She's a mix.
What breed is your daughter?
She's a mess.
All right. Goodbye, VA.
Okay, bye.
She's too funny.
Yeah.
And that's real. That she said to me, like, seriously.
I love them equally.
She said, my daughter got upset. And the way she said it to me is, do you believe that? My daughter got upset.
She got all upset with me because I said I love the dog as much as her. Yes, she's a kid. Your kid.
I said, God damn it, honey. That is the wrong answer every time.
In different ways.
God damn it, honey.
Honey.
God damn it.
Man, walking the daughter.
Hey, quick break. And we'll be right back for the Friday favorite.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hold on. How did it do?
Yeah.
It didn't.
Oh.
It didn't do.
Do I need the screwdriver?
Let me try this one. And
it depends upon what the meaning of the word is. Yes. If is means is and never has been, that is not. That's one thing. If it means there is none, that was a completely true statement. But as I have testified, I'd like to testify again. This is it is somewhat unusual for a client to be asked about his lawyer's statements instead of the other way around.
The Don and Mike Show.
Slick Willie. Right on. 5:22. Of the West. Midwest. 3:22.
And Dallas.
Sometime between midnight and 4 a.m.
They are entertaining always.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Yeah. Let's see if this other tape fires now. You know, it's been so long since we've played the Clinton Monica tape.
Yeah.
Here's the one that we tried to play that was kind of busted.
Can you tell the grand jury what is tricky about the question? Did anyone other than your attorneys ever tell
you? No, there's nothing. I'm just telling. I have explained. I will now explain for the third time, sir. I was being asked a number of questions here. I was struggling to remember them. There were lots of things that had gone on.
Uh-huh.
During this time period that had nothing to do with Monica Lewinsky.
Well, anyway, obviously, he's the guy. Let's do it. I smell a musk. I smell brute high karate.
How are you?
Hey.
Good to see you. I just heard you playing those tapes. That was a dark time, a dark period of my life.
You are happy now, though, aren't you?
I'm very happy. Things could not be better. I'm very, very thrilled. How are you, Don?
I'm doing great, Bill.
Bob, good to see you again.
Hi.
Buzz?
Mr. Clinton,
how are you?
Well, Joseph, I bought the book.
Oh, that's good. I understood you read it on your at your beach home.
I read it all 900 freaking pages.
Well, you know, I wanted to encapsulate everything that that existed in my presidency, and I wanted to make sure that you... and all the other readers and fans could understand the nature of what it was to serve this country for that period of time.
I think most people, like myself, although I'm interested in your background and how you became president.
How would that work?
Most of us were interested in...
What do you mean you're interested in my background? What do you mean?
Well, I was interested in, like, with your mama.
Growing up.
Mama. You know, and your brother.
Oh, yeah.
You write about that in the book.
I include that briefly. Of course, it's a comprehensive history of my days in the White House, and I wanted to make sure people understood all the details. And,
but you didn't write a lot about Monica Lewinsky.
Primarily, the book is for all my money fans. That's what I decided to do.
Out of over 900 pages, I think there were maybe 15 that... indirectly talked about Monica Lewinsky.
Well, I can answer that if you'd like me to. It basically, okay. it's not a time that's all that much significance to me personally. And if you've seen her lately, as I have, and heard her commentary, of course she's negative about the book, which is not a surprise to me. But I will tell you that I will notice that she is disrespecting the content of the book, but I disrespect what she's done at the dinner table. If you see how big and fat she is.
Unlike
she
you
is
now,
super big and fat, man.
Now,
she's goofy fat.
She
really is. Have you seen her?
Yeah,
man. Oh man, are we still able to talk like we used to on this show?
No,
we can't talk the way we. Because I used to like to. One of the if I may be candid,
we had some FCC problems we're working
with. One of the more refreshing things that I like coming out and talking to you on the show is that we could just kick back and be a couple of guys. Like I have many men friends. That I have a relaxing and an open relationship with, where we can talk candidly about, yeah, what is one of my favorite subjects. And I was told by your female producer, which
get a good look at her.
I'm worried about that decision. You know, you want a boys club, really, first and foremost. You want to insulate yourself with people that that you can talk candidly around. And unfortunately, as much as I respect women's rights, You have a difficult time doing that when you have a woman in the inner circle, and I just that is a you know I enjoy love.
Sure.
Although we can't speak as explicitly as
there's
before.
One particular word you and I used quite frequently when I was a guest on your show the last time.
What was that?
It began with a P, and ended with a Y.
Oh yeah, no, we can't. We can't say that word anymore.
That's out.
And I, you know, and then somewhere in between, we would say that is fine, and then that word. And I would say, man, she is fine, and then I'd say, do it. And sometimes I used to say that when I was back in the governor's mansion. I would say, I bet you have a nice and
right.
And
well, you know, can't say that now. You
love
know what
is so nice. Active love.
You know what we can talk about, though?
I do enjoy active
Let's
love.
Let's talk really about do. Your monogamous relationship with the lovely Hillary.
Oh, yes. Now, what we did last time we were here, you want the party line?
Okay,
as far as the standard line.
All right, here's the deal.
She's a good senator from the state of New York. she's doing a fine job.
Tell me the truth.
I respect her. She, you know, she helped me during my presidency.
Tell me the truth.
Huh?
When's the last time you had sex with her?
Oh, Lord. Oh, let me see. I called her 2 weeks ago, and I think we were talking about that. She was complaining, which she's often wont to do.
Huh.
And I think it would be... Well, if you count the White House, I'd have to guess. I can't give you a real specific.
You don't think you've had sex with her since you left the White House?
Oh no,
that's been 3 years ago.
No, it's so funny when you bring up the word Hillary, I get a little vomit taste in my mouth. It's kind of an automatic gag reaction. I would say total time that we have not had normal relations would be 11 years.
Wow.
Now, 11 years total, and you know, that's all right. She's a strong-willed woman.
When I read your book...
She does a good job.
When I read your book...
She does indeed.
The only thing that...
That's my sincere face. You like that one? She does indeed.
The only thing...
And I roll my eyes just for you.
And you do that thing with your thumb, don't you? That,
yeah, that's that comedian.
From Kennedy
that,
thing.
That,
That's the Daryl Hammond
that's
thing,
Daryl
right?
Hammond, yeah. I hate him. I think he's gay.
Huh.
In the book, you write...
Hillary does not enjoy my style of active love.
In the book you wrote...
Are you familiar with active love? Active love, if I can explain it, I'd love to talk about that, because I think this is not in the book, and this is something where I could... You were mentioning the fact that your wife does not initiate.
You're correct.
We are compadres on that, mi amigo.
My wife Hillary also.
Absolutely. It's very, very difficult. But with other women... women that you know that you might be interested in pursuing some sort of sexual relationship with, you can begin the process of lovemaking even sitting at a countertop.
Hey, but dude, here's the thing though.
High energy, one-sided, active love.
Here's the thing.
That's what I enjoy. I know Buzz and I have spoken about this often.
Yes, he
understands all of my concepts, and I've read every book on the subject. I'm a voracious reader. You know, I think people should be well-read and well-informed about a variety of subjects, but one of the subjects that has interested me in my Harlem office since I've been outside of the presidency has been the art of love.
Mm-hmm.
And the art of love in so many different cultures and so many different entities is something that you can pursue in a variety of ways, and it starts with the mind in many cases.
Right, but you're married though.
Pardon me?
You're a married guy.
Well, there are details that have to be addressed, but I will tell you right now that I certainly enjoy the process of active mind love with a variety of different subjects, and that's what I'm pursuing right now.
Mind love?
How that mentally, as a former president, I can sit there and look at a woman, and she can look at me. And I can communicate to the point of actual arousal my feelings for her. That's what I try to do.
In your mind.
Active love is swell and respected in the Far East. That is one of the areas, and I've read those books, too.
Yeah.
Active love. That'll be my next book. Active Love by Bill Clinton.
In this book.
Active.
The only part.
One-sided love.
The only part you wrote about Monica was that, you know, you did it and you were sad. And then Hillary made
it
you.
It was not good.
Hillary made you sleep on the couch for about 3 months.
Y'all know I was in the doghouse. There's no doubt about that. She put me in the doghouse. Yes, she did. She had me sleep on the couch. But that allowed me an opportunity that people are not aware of to pursue my new interest in the computer.
Oh.
And the couch was located very close to a computer terminal.
Let me guess.
I was informed by
the Secret Service. Some of the sites that you visited.
I went to the first one. I went to www.jennajameson.com and enjoyed an hour or two of wonderful. And then I involved myself before the Secret Service shut it down. I involved myself in several wonderful chat groups where the idea of active love was discussed.
Now, here's a question.
I'll answer any questions.
When you go on
perfectly candidly, I'm not an officer.
When you go on an adult-oriented chat group and you identify yourself as
Bill Clinton.
I do no such thing,
man,
sir.
Good for you.
I do no such thing.
What is the name
you
use?
Let me make it clear to you right now. I did not use that. I used my chat group name.
Which is what?
Barney.
Barney.
I would say Barney, and that was it. And then I would be Bobby, or I would sometimes be a pretty girl. It would really depend on the moment. And that's the nice thing. I don't know whether any of your listeners are, I was behind the times as far as the computers. There were stories written about that as how computer illiterate I was, and it's true. I still am for that matter. But I'm going to tell you right now that one of the things I enjoyed was creating different personas. Do you know you can go on a chat group and you can make yourself a totally fictitious person?
Yeah.
And I found that to be enlightening and liberating, that I could be a beautiful 25-year-old woman on the computer and talk to men as well as women. Well, it was very, very exciting.
That makes you a faggot.
Well, it does not. It does not in any way. Not that there is anything wrong, and I believe equal rights for all citizens, and I'm in favor of equality, and I've done a lot of work for it.
Did you ever take a conversation with a man where you were pretending to be a woman? Did you ever take it to
the point of active love?
Yes.
Yes, I did. Huh. But of course, active love is a mental thing. It's not
That's
something
right.
where there's physical contact, not physical contact with that individual towards me. But in many cases, how do I explain this succinctly and clearly so your listeners will understand it? I'm going to tell you this. What I did was, during my computer chats, I would communicate mostly as Johnny Smith, who was one of my computer names.
That's the name that Bush used yesterday. I love that name.
Johnny Smith.
Johnny Smith.
And I would be Johnny Smith, and I'd be talking to someone who was interesting, say a 35-year-old housewife who was up late while I was sleeping in the couch, and she was from the Midwest. And I would not, the active love process would involve me, where I would involve myself in the active love. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And nobody ever walked in on you when you were...
Not when I was turning Japanese, no.
You're experiencing this active love?
I did not enjoy being a bottom.
No.
I didn't. I experimented in being a bottom, but I prefer being a top.
Didn't like it.
I've always preferred being a
top. That's a good choice. I think that's a good choice.
It's not like being a bottom on the internet or anywhere else, but man, what a great toy. I called it my toy. I said, listen, I'm going to go sleep on the couch, Hillary, and I've been playing on the toy for a while. And she never paid attention to that. She felt it was fairly harmless. It was all right.
Let me ask you.
Being submissive is not my scene.
Let me ask you about the...
for a groovy chick.
The Democratic candidates, Kerry and Edwards.
They are both fine men. I admire them both greatly.
Who's the most handsome of them?
Oh, John Edwards. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. What? He is such a young-looking 50, don't you think?
He's
got wonderful coiffed hair, a great smile.
Would you ever get him in a chat group?
I certainly would like to. I could enlighten him on the ways of the White House, some of the secret corridors that exist. Secret corridors in both the White House West Wing and in the mine.
Oh, yeah.
The mine to pursue active love. That is what I am enjoying and what I'm interested in right now. Do you know there are several countries where it is perfectly acceptable to engage in active love in the work environment?
Yeah, but unfortunately...
They consider it a way to stimulate productivity.
The United States is not one of those countries, though, is it?
Well, I'm working very hard to make sure that the workplace can be a free place. Freedom of expression can also work its way into sexual activity in the workplace.
How many chicks?
I think a man in this day and age, and I mean this, and I say this to my fellow Americans, that a man ought to be able to express himself freely in all areas, love included. Express yourself. Thank you, Buzz.
Got it.
I think of that young VP that's out there right now working real hard, and it's a Friday afternoon, and he desperately sees that girl in the outer office that he wants to hit on. And he can't do it because of these society's regulations, rules, and regs.
What about the chicks that you must meet, like at your book signing, where you have people lining up for 12 hours, it's like the percentage is 80% female, 20% male. What?
ATB, John Don Geronimo, ATB.
ATB, what's that mean?
All too brief, my friend. There's a thousand of them out there, and they'll just whisk them right through, and I'll just be, wait! I'm trying to grab them around their ankles when they're leaving, but it's real tough to do. It's so tough to do because they're just, they're just wanting to sign, and they'll try to meet my eyes, and I'll try to do the same thing, and I'll, occasionally, if I have a lingering moment, which is there's so many books to sign, so much writer's cramp to get, and so little time to spend with the certain individuals
I want.
I will say, A.L., And I'll kind of look at them, you know, act at love, and see if they're interested in me. And it just, you know, it really, the love will be there at borders, but it will not be anything that you can really act on. You know, and it gets back to the whole thing. I think if a man is in a bookstore signing something that he's worked very hard on, and
you just said,
yes, I did.
Hard on.
I will just say this, that I think a man ought to be able to enjoy the fans of his work. And a man ought to be able to communicate that enjoyment in the only way he knows how.
Yep.
Active love.
How's it going? Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble is a fine, fine bookstore, a great chain.
That's a good
and
joke, Rob.
Barnes & Noble, we're very accommodating, and I always request three things when I do a book signing.
Lots of active love.
I want, no, I, what I request all the time, give me a glass of water.
Water.
In case I get a little dry.
Right. You got water, you know, right. Okay.
I'll require a little to wet my whistle while I'm signing my books. I want fresh pens that aren't going to run out of ink. We don't have any glitches like that.
No problem.
And I request a table that has a curtain in front of it. That is all I request.
I know.
Because quite often,
there.
When I'm sitting down, I become hot and sweaty, and I will remove my pants when I'm doing my book signing.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it would be unbecoming if I'm wearing a business suit with my, you know, with my... My tidy whitey.
And well, now quite often don't you go commando?
Only when I'm near a sex chair.
Sex chair.
Familiar with a sex chair?
No, I'm not.
I am.
What's a sex chair?
Something where you can enjoy hard, sweaty, deviant, one-sided, wet, active love.
We're going to play the game. Now, love went into Jeopardy.
I sure didn't know we'd be talking about that the whole time, Rob. But I kind of liked it.
First two callers at 877-365-3636 get to play with my man, BC, my man.
Yeah. Can I just say something to your lovely wife who may be listening today? I'd like to pass this message along to her.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Rita, this is your former president. Initiate. That's all. Initiate this weekend. Initiate. Make him happy. Initiate it.
And let me say something if she's listening to Hillary. Initiate.
I have to be more specific with that. Just two words for her.
What's that?
Touch it.
Oh, God. Of course you're
Please touch it.
You are speaking about touching what?
My heart.
There you go. Thank you.
Right.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike. Is the Don and Mike Show.
Which I knew I'd have to do, and which I should have done a long time before I did, that she would talk about it. Not because Monica Lewinsky's a bad person. She's basically a good girl. She's a good young woman with a good heart and a good mind. I think she is burdened by some unfortunate conditions of her upbringing. But she's basically a good person. But I knew that the minute there was no longer any contact, she would talk about this. She would have to. She couldn't help it. It was a part of her psyche. So I had put myself at risk, so.
The Don and Mike Show. She's a good girl, though.
Not yet available on DVD.
Oh,
it's the Don and Mike Show.
That's part of her psyche. It's the bitch psyche.
Oh.
I'm sorry, I have to say the truth.
Yeah.
And how about how she's looking today, Monica Lewinsky?
I believe I like to refer to that as poetic justice. I think it really is. I've looked at her, and I just want exposed shoulders are not the way to go, Monica.
Hey, President Clinton?
Yeah, yes, Don.
Before we play Jeopardy, here's a who would you do?
Oh, I love this game. I used to listen when you were. You don't do that as much as you used to.
No, but we can still do it.
No, this is a good game. All
and
right.
Now, remember, you have to pick one.
I sure will.
You have to pick one, no matter how hideous they are.
I'm enjoying myself now. Now you're in my wheelhouse. I remember who would you do?
Who would you do?
Who would you do?
Monica Lewinsky.
All right.
Or Hillary Clinton.
Now, here I was all ramped up for some fun, and you just decided to play a cruel joke.
That's the fun of who would you do?
Yeah. Well, I have been to both resorts, if you know what I mean. And I will say I'll have to go with the latter. Yeah, I have to say that now, because there's no chance that I need to impress Fat Girl anymore. So that's fine. So I might as well go with the general. As I like to call Hillary.
That's a romantic name you have for her.
Yes, sirree. She's the general.
The
She's
general.
My little Edie I'm in.
Oh.
I tell you right now, man. And I'd like to compliment you on your program today. I enjoy nudism also, which many people do not know. I work better and I am more relaxed in the nude.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great time we have here. Are you ready to get started?
Yeah. I remember, they're not nudist colonies. They are nudist resorts.
Yeah, resorts. It's like a great resort. I like to, I tell you, I wish I could golf in the nude. That would make me happy. All right. Vernon Jordan got me into it. All right. Here we go.
Let's play final. Or not final. Let's play the beginning of Low Budget Jeopardy.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio are two challengers and two fine young men. First of all, our first contestant from your brand new market of Tampa, Florida, is Bob Colton.
There he is.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, LQ. How you doing, Mr. President?
I'm just fine. Welcome aboard. And let's say hi to a gentleman from Ogden, Utah, a quality assurance representative. That's a valuable task. And let's say hi to David Fournier.
Hey, Dave.
Good afternoon, Mr. President.
So, Dave, you are listening on the Salt Lake station, right?
Yes, I am. Call 700.
I'd
call
700. Like to manage your campaign. David Fournier. I would have the slogan right there. If you're hornier, vote for Fournier. And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy, Bob and David. Do not screw with LQ.
No, with LQ.
And say hi to Alex Trebek-Geronimo.
Well, howdy, guys. Hi there.
Hello, LQ.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Bob, and here are your categories, fellas. They are Spider-Man.
Ah, that's a fine show.
Celebrity SAT scores.
Ah, I like that. I had very high SAT scores. I was a very, very good student. I was, Don. What's you laughing at?
You said that like you would spell it S-T-U-D-I-N-T.
Student. That's everybody from Arkansas.
Also, we have NASCAR sponsors.
I hear that.
Michael Moore Mania.
I'd just like to salute him. He makes a lot of sense.
And new on DVD.
New on DVD. We're going to have some fun now.
So again, that's
ain't we?
Spider-Man, Celebrity SATs,
right,
NASCAR sponsors, Michael Moore, new on DVD. Dave, we'll start with you.
Is there a chance I could get a fresh drink from one of your sassy interns?
We don't have sassy. Oh, as a matter of fact, hold on a second. We don't have sassy interns.
Oh, that's a shame.
But we still have Joe, and Joe has not given us. Hey, hi, BA. Would you put Joe on, please?
Yeah, one second.
Joe has not given us his weekend kickoff slogan, and I think you're going to love it.
Well, I'd love to hear it. That'd be great.
Joe Ardinger, say hi to Bill Clinton.
Hello, Mr. President.
Well, hello, Mr. Ardinger. How are you? It's nice to meet you.
Joe, we've not had the opportunity. Here
it
is. 3 hours into the show. Give us your weekend sign-on.
The weekend is here. Have a can of beer.
Oh, that's great. I'll hook you up with my brother.
Really?
Should I do it in my British accent?
Yes, oh, please. Love to hear that.
Love that.
The weekend is here. Have a can of beer.
You're a good boy.
He is.
You're quite a good boy. I'll give you Roger's number.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, let's get rocking and rolling, shall we?
All right, Dave, go ahead. You pick a category.
I'll take celebrity SAT scores.
Ah, now these are courtesy of Time Magazine.
And can I just say, everyone should get a good education.
And I'll give you a 50-50 shot on these. I'll tell you the celebrity, and it's either over or under 1,000.
All right.
Okay, because you know, a lot of people scored 900, maybe 1,100, 1,200, 1,300. You're real smart.
Very
so
good.
Are they over or under 1,000?
Oh, this will be a fun little conundrum.
Celebrity SATs. For one, Tom Cruise.
What is under 1,000?
No.
Bob, it's your chance to steal.
What is over 1,000?
Yes, there you go. And Tom Cruise's SAT score, 1125.
I think he was darn near a fool to let go of that Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
Well, let's stay there.
Did you see Eyes Wide Shut? I have it. I own it.
I'm not surprised.
Don't you like when they go to the big mansion and they're all wearing masks?
The big Mardi Gras party.
Oh, that's big fun. I wish I could have had a state dinner like that.
For two, over or under 1,000 on the SATs, Christina Applegate.
I'll say over.
Not in the form of a question. And David,
right.
It's your chance to steal.
What is over?
Damn. Come on. She's stupid.
She doesn't seem stupid. She seems brilliant.
960.
She is so hot.
960 on the SATs.
When I was in the White House, I used to watch Married with Children every weekend just for her. I didn't like Peg, but I sure liked the little girl. She was nice. Blonde, tight. Hot as fresh tar. Bob, you're in control.
Celebrity SATs for three, okay? Here we go. For three, Adam Sandler.
What is over?
Fellas.
David, your chance to steal.
I'm going to say what is under.
Yes, Adam Sandler, dumbest of this group, 765 on his SATs.
Oh, Adam Sandler. Didn't he go out with Drew Barrymore for a while?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, man, she is hot as an engineer's inseam. All right, David, you're in control.
Dave, pick another category.
I'll take Michael Moore.
Michael Moore, mania. Michael Moore's current age.
What is...
Sorry.
Pop, your chance to sail.
You got to move.
What is 37?
Please, Michael Moore is 50.
50. David, you're still in control.
I'll take Michael Moore for two.
Michael Moore's waist size.
What is 47?
Bob, your chance to steal.
What is 48?
52.
52. Wow, man. David, you're still in control.
Michael Moore for three.
Michael Moore, celebrity SAT. Over or under 1,000?
What is under?
Oh.
Bob, your chance to steal.
What is over?
$3 for you, Bob. And can we all agree, Fahrenheit, best movie since Smokey and the Bandit?
$1,200 for Michael Moore on his SATs.
Select again, Bob.
Spider-Man for one.
Spider-Man, here we go. His real identity.
Who is Peter Parker?
Right.
$1 for you, Bob. Starting to mount a little lead here.
Spider-Man for two. The comic book company that publishes the comic book.
What is Marvel Comics?
Right.
$2 for you, Bob. You're rolling on this one.
Spider-Man for three. Name of the newspaper that Peter Parker sells pictures of Spider-Man to.
What is the Daily Bugle?
Right.
$3. You run the category and open up a sizable lead, my friend from Tampa. Select again.
NASCAR sponsors for one.
NASCAR sponsors. They are the major sponsor of Tony Stewart's car.
Who is Viagra?
David, your chance to steal.
Who is Budweiser?
Negative, fellas. Big orange Home Depot car.
Home Depot, where you get all your home products. Have you ever been to a NASCAR race?
Sure, I was at the Daytona 500.
Is that a honey hunt or what?
That's like a stink pit, isn't it?
Oh, man, fantastic. You come there. We should go together. Go out there and go to a NASCAR race. What a honey hunt. All right, Bob.
NASCAR for two.
Very good.
The major sponsor of Jimmy Johnson's car, the 48 car.
Who is Viagra?
Nice.
David, your chance to steal.
Who's Lowe's?
Lowe's, yeah.
Ooh,
right. There you go, right. The blue Lowe's car.
$2 for that, David. You select again, please.
NASCAR for three, Mr. President.
Major sponsor of Mark Martin's car.
Arg. Who's Budweiser?
Bob, your chance to steal.
Now is the time for Viagra. Who is Viagra?
But you had to go with your dialogue. Now is the time for Viagra. What? Not in the form of a question.
Yeah, we've been out of the market for a while, Bob. You have forgotten the rules. And, David, you're in control.
Let's see. I will take...
new on DVD. It's the only one left.
Fun.
Pardon me?
New on DVD.
New on DVD. Here we go. Stars Johnny Depp.
Bob, your chance to steal.
Nope, Secret Window.
Secret Window, yeah, not a good movie. I like Pirates of the Caribbean a whole lot, though.
Yeah.
All right, David, you're in control.
You like Johnny Depp in makeup, don't you?
I do. I like him in makeup. I like that one where he cut all the shrubs.
Eddie Scissorhands?
Oh, that's funny, man. His hands were actual scissors. God, that made me laugh. Oh, man. I have lots of DVDs. Quite a collection.
And who's your favorite director? Buzz, what's that guy's name?
Andrew Blake.
That's the one.
You don't need to ask him.
You got the taste.
They're fantastic. Anything from the Vivid collection.
Yeah.
All right, David, you're in control.
New on DVD for two.
Stars Adam Sandler.
51st Dates. What is it?
Not in the form of a question.
You are a taskmaster, Don. All right, Bob, your chance to steal.
What is 51st Dates?
Right.
All right, what was that, $2 or $3?
Two.
$2, select again, Bob.
DVD for three.
All right, final question on the big board. New on DVD stars Ashton Kutcher. Okay, that silence means...
David, your chance to steal.
What is Butterfly Effect?
Correct, Amundo.
You know what my favorite DVD collection is?
What?
You have the Emmanuel Trilogy?
Oh.
I love it. It's not real hardcore, but, man, great bodies. Hot, hot, hot. Active love.
So, Bill, what's the score here as we get ready for final low-budget Jeopardy?
My good friend from Tampa, Bob, finishes with $12. Let's see what David has from Ogden, Utah. He has a total of $8, and I still have all of my DVDs, and I'm sure happy about that.
Okay, guys.
Sylvia Crystal is Emmanuel.
play Final Low Budget Jeopardy. And you got a 50-50 shot. It's true or false?
That's what I say about every girl I meet.
50-50 shot?
I got a 50-50 shot. Worst thing she can say is no.
Okay, reality TV, true or false? Guys, here you go. And here's the answer. This is either true or false. The Game Show Network is getting into the genre with the debut of Celebrity Blackjack, featuring Snoop Doggy Dogg and Jason Alexander. Okay, true or false? The Game Show Network is getting into the genre with the debut of Celebrity Blackjack, starring Snoop Doggy Dogg and Jason Alexander. That's either a made-up or true. Guys, answer in the form of a question and a good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive Bill Clinton's Guide to Self-Massage.
Oh, my.
Well, I'm talking about something special here. Whether it's the campaign trail, life in the Oval Office, or a busy book signing, I've always found time for freeing self-massage. My guide will teach you all the secrets to something I've practiced for a number of years, so you can enjoy a mind-blowing, stress-relieving humdinger of a self-massage. My guide, in wet or dry, one hand or two, will keep you smiling all day long. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with a good massager.
You use that with the active love?
I sure do. It's all part of it. All part of the same thing. All techniques into one.
First here.
Let's go to a low man on the totem pole. That's David.
All right, Dave, here we go. Dave, reality, true or false, the Game Show Network has a show called Celebrity Blackjack with Snoop and Jason Alexander.
What is true?
That is true.
You double your score to $16. David, you sit tight. You might just be the big winner.
All right, here you go, Bob. Bob from Tampa. Bob, you have the right answer. You're the big wiener.
What is true?
Yep, that's right. He got it. Oops. Oh,
and that means that Bob Colton from Tampa, Florida, you're our big low budget Jeopardy champion.
Well, thank you, LQ, Mr. President.
It was one of those shows that's not getting a lot of press.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And there's Celebrity Poker. Right. There's Celebrity Texas Hold'em.
I want to see Celebrity Massage.
And now there's Celebrity Blackjack with Snoop. And yeah, anyway, it's true. And that means one of you guys wins and one of you guys loses. Bill, who won?
All right, we'd like to congratulate Bob Colton of Tampa. He doubles the score to $24. We throw in a $25 bonus for a grand total of $49 for you, Bob. What do you think of that?
That's fantastic. I think I'll go out and buy your book, Mr. President.
That's a good move.
Talk more than that.
I appreciate that. And here's your big prizes. Are you ready, David?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
Congratulations. You have won an exclusive Don and Mike logo sleeve of Pro V1. Pro V1 golf balls. I golf all the time, courtesy of Golf Them Live the Game.
But wait.
Or maybe it's Live the Game.
Yeah. There's more. Yeah, it's not Live
Here's
the Game.
Here's my prize. I love these, man. I love these. I do. These are great. You're going to love them. They're good. Congratulations. You've won free Slurpees for a year. It's 7-Eleven's 77th birthday. It's Sunday, July 11th, and they're celebrating with free Slurpees on 7-Eleven Day. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. Here's the best prize of all.
But there's more.
You've won a Bertucci's gift certificate. Bertucci's, where the passion for authentic Italian brick up.
It's Bertucci's.
Oh, I'm terribly
it's not
sorry.
It's Bertucci's.
I used to call it, when I eat there, I call it Bertucci's.
No, it's not that.
I thought it was kind of a sexy name. All right, Bertucci's, if you want to go that way. Where the passion for authentic Italian brick oven cooking burns every day. Bertucci's Brick Oven Ristorante. Enjoy that food. And enjoy yourself. A pleasure meeting you, Mr. Fournier.
Thanks, Mr. President.
Bob and Dave.
Firm limit.
Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, guys. And that's it. Now let's start the buzz music. And what can I say? Bill, it's been great having you back.
Yeah. Well, I sure enjoy myself. I'm a very busy man nowadays, and I'm doing a lot of good work around this country. And vote Democratic, everyone.
So tonight, what's it going to be? Camelot?
I think so.
Nexus Gold Club?
I don't like to travel that far downtown. Yeah. I think we'll probably do the strip, the M Street location, just have a good time, and see if I can rustle up old Alien Face Carville, see if we go out and have a good time. Lord knows he likes to get out of that house with that reigning queen witch.
Who would you rather do?
Yeah.
James Carville's way. What's her name? Like
Mary Matlin.
Mary Matlin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mary Matlin or Hillary Clinton?
I'd rather do James Carville.
No, it has to be Mary Matlin or Hillary Clinton. Who would you do?
Well, I've never been there, so I, you know, just in the interest of newness and fun and freshness, right. I'd like to do Mary.
There you go.
Even though I do not approve of her politics, but I'm sure she'd be well versed in the art of active love.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz is me.
He made it up.
You know, Buzz likes the active love too.
Well, then he'd like my poem.
Let's hear it.
I hope you enjoy my active love. Now it's time to fill the glove.
That is nice.
Make up your own rules.
What is your lead story on the news and comments tonight?
Today, darn the luck, the Pentagon says the records of the president's military service were accidentally destroyed.
Oh, man. Don't believe everything you hear.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz, with the news is next. And Bill?
Yes, Don.
As always.
It's always been a pleasure. I'm going to make my leave. I'm going to take my leave, just like Sir Lancelot. Mm-hmm. All right, remember, active love, fill the glove.
Yeah.
Have a good time, y'all. Bye-bye. Check out my butt.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come on now. You know what?
New system.
Here I was bitching about the computers earlier in the week. Now I'm thinking everything's got to be on the computer now that it works.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me try this.
Crackpot.
See? Ah, that was on. Did you hear that recue?
Was that on the tape?
That's on tape.
It's all good now, though, right?
Yep. Well, we'll try it one more time.
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I do.
Hey, you give me some Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
Not Rob's Elvis, my Elvis.
Costello.
I'm happy.
Me too.
They respectfully decline. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Are you? Do you want to say
something? I'm very happy.
You want to say something?
Yes. Yes, O'Mara is open for business.
Wow.
I am very, very happy. I want to thank Bobby for getting everything done out there. Bobby's
hey, look around, cafe.
Good guy. So, ahead of schedule, about 2 hours ahead of schedule.
So the fire was put out. Everything's great.
Everything's fine. Come on out, you know, and enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm. All the bugs are dead?
They're all dead, Don. It's the gas.
Time for Buzz's News. Buzz and I brought to you by Verimax, the world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Verimax, number one because it really works.
Someone called for a doctor?
Doctor developed, clinically tested, and patented. Verimax, get it at nationwide retailers. Call 1-888. Try VMAX. You never hear this on the radio.
No, I love
Accidents
this song.
Will Happen by Elvis Costello.
He's great.
He is. But what's up with that dude's glasses?
With Elvis's glasses?
Yeah. Is he in
the... And what's the deal with the shaving?
And you know what else?
You know, so, I mean, he does this couple thing like Michael Moore does.
I know he does.
He also got the Vish teeth. None of them touch.
Well, he's got the British teeth.
He's got Austin Powers teeth.
So talented.
He was the receiving end one of the greatest Larry Sanders lines ever.
Oh, when Hank bought his car?
Yeah, it was like a Bentley or a sports car.
Right,
He said, tally-ho, F-face.
Buzz, you like Elvis Costello?
I love Elvis Costello. All of his songs.
Good, then we're all agreed. We all like him.
Amen.
Now here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Boy, are their faces ever red at the Pentagon, where they've been forced to admit that records of George W. Bush's service to the military were accidentally destroyed.
Right.
How much and how well the president served have been called into question by critics, including Michael Moore and Fahrenheit 9/11. But blame the New York Times for this one. First Lieutenant Bush served more than 30 years ago, and the Pentagon says those records were destroyed, along with, quote, numerous service members. They say it happened during a project aimed at preserving deteriorating microfilm.
Huh?
And they say there are no backup copies. They used to keep all the records on microfilm.
No, I know what you're saying. I'm just smelling something here that smells like...
bad microfilm?
Sounds like somebody stepped in something.
Yeah, a little hinky. Quoting one author, those are records we've all been interested in.
You think?
Another...
And, yeah. Well, you mentioned Michael Moore.
Yeah.
Speaking of Michael Moore, and everybody is, Monday on the show, we're going to have a guy named Mike White,
mm-hmm.
who has a very popular website, MichaelMooreHatesAmerica.com.
Oh, yes. I've heard about that website.
The anti-Michael Moore. He's not so much anti-Michael Moore. I mean, he does have a viewpoint that Michael Moore only presents one side of the story.
Right. Michael Moore might agree with him on that.
Yeah. But what's interesting is if you go to MichaelMooreHatesAmerica.com,
mm-hmm.
you click on the trailer for the movie, and... it's this guy doing what Michael Moore did to the GM guy.
Right, right.
It's him following Michael Moore around saying, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you? And it's Michael Moore being interviewed like in Bowling for Columbine going, I only appear in my own movies.
Right.
So we'll find out what this guy's story is and his relationship with Michael Moore on Monday's episode.
Very cool. He had a good answer for Jon Stewart, who asked him recently, are you fair? And Michael Moore said, no.
He's not.
Another movie chain in the heartland has banned Fahrenheit 9/11. Add the monolithic GKC theater chain to the monopolistic Fridley theater chain, and you've blocked the movie out of places like Grand Island, Nebraska, and Marquette, Wisconsin. From Marquette, you'd have to drive 39 miles to Fond du Lac to see it, and from Grand Island, it's nearly an hour to Kearney.
But Buzz, if you've never been to Fond du Lac, you've not lived. And try the fondue there.
Yes.
Oh my God, yeah. Have you ever been through Fond du Lac?
Mike, I believe there was a time I may have worked. I think it was WDZZ when I did a week. When I was working at Waukee. I was working a bunch of part-time stations.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Waukee in Milwaukee.
Right.
Station in Fond du Lac. And then a station, I think, maybe around Madison. So, yeah.
Wow.
I've been to Fond du Lac.
What you call, and what you now refer to as the golden years.
And that's sad. That's sad. Those are my golden years.
Saturday night in Fond du Lac.
Well, damn the giant corporations, these big theater chains. They say they don't run propaganda. They had no trouble with it during World War II, but this is an anti-war film. Nevertheless, the movie's opened on several hundred more screens today, Fahrenheit 9/11. Yet you'd never hear about this if Walt was still alive. Three people were injured in a crash on Disneyland's Big Thunder Mountain. The Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. A 10-year-old boy and his parents were taken to the hospital with head and back injuries. They'll be all right, but it's the second crash on that ride in 3 months. The runaway mining cars, as Disney likes to call them, had just reopened after a crash last year that killed one man and injured 10 others.
Smith to Eisner, over.
Yes, Smith, what is it? This is Mike Eisner. What can I do for you?
We had a bad accident on, what was it, Buzz, the Matterhorn?
No, it was the Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Thunder Mountain Railroad, bad accident today, sir.
Any deaths, Smith?
Buzz, any deaths?
No, not today, not
this
time.
That's right, just one guy is really badly hurt and his kid has got broken something.
Smith, do we have to give them free tickets?
Sir, I would recommend giving them the slightly used Nemo toys.
Excellent. I don't want to give up any more free tickets. It's getting to the slow time of the year, Smith.
Sir, do you remember when we sent all of the Nemo toys to the cancer kids?
Yes, and unfortunately they
all died, so we got the toys back.
Yes, yeah, but at least the ones that were killed, you know, had the swallowing thing taken care of. And Smith?
Yes, Mr. Eisner.
How about a little act of love in the commissary?
I was just speaking about that with Bill Clinton, sir.
I'll see you momentarily, Smith.
I love you, sir.
Love you, Smith.
I'll love you until Mel Carmerson takes this company over, sir.
I understand, Smith. I'm fighting that tooth and nail. Tooth and hoof.
Park officials say they shut down the ride, quote, in an abundance of caution. That's always wise, right after the much-dreaded shortage of caution.
That's Buzz Burbank doing a little stick there.
Yeah, Buzz, that's why it's news and comment.
That's right.
Well, you'll never hear the end of this.
What?
An American court has ruled that a man's wife, even his ex-wife, has a right to complain and nag and go on and on. In Seattle, the Washington State Supreme Court has ruled that a woman has the right to complain about her ex-husband, even if he finds it annoying. And he did. The woman was always...
Well, you're talking about an ex-wife.
Yeah, in this case, yes, but I think when you hear the court's ruling, you'll see the far-reaching implications of this.
Okay.
The woman was always complaining about her ex-husband to the cops and to other officials. He got a court order to make her stop. She challenged that court order. The state Supreme Court ruled in her favor. The judges unanimously agreed that to make her stop complaining violates her right to free speech.
Now, I hate to take the girl's side in this, but we're talking about not just nagging, like the kind of nagging she would have to end up calling the cops because the guy was
harassing her,
right?
Right. No, he never harassed her. It was always her harassing him and reporting him to people and just making his life miserable in general. The court ruled that's part of her free speech rights. To make his life miserable.
I think someone's presenting it a little one-sided.
That's just the way I see it.
You got any weekend plans, Buzz? Going to spend some QT with your wife?
It's going to be like war. It'll be cold. No, I'm kidding.
Of course you're kidding.
The man Arnold Schwarzenegger... The man Arnold Schwarzenegger chose to run California's education system wants this to go away. Richard Reardon, who's always found public speaking awkward.
Reardon!
He was quoted as jokingly telling a little girl that her name is Egyptian for stupid, dirty girl.
What a moron.
Her name is Isis. It actually means goddess. But Education Secretary Richard Reardon, who's basically in charge of kids, said,
Reardon!
Stupid, dirty girl. Jokingly.
You're a stupid, dirty girl.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I saw the funniest thing on the Los Angeles station.
What?
Which I'm still watching just to see Lisa Joyner do the weather.
Oh, Lisa Joyner. We got to get Lisa Joyner on the show.
Yeah. And East Coast Bob from EastCoastBob.com said he had some nude photos. I can't find them.
He's looking for them. He still wants them if anybody has them.
Hold on. Before I make the point about Arnold again.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So I'm watching the Los Angeles news.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Washington. I'm watching Los Angeles just to see this cute weather girl.
Perfect.
And while I'm waiting for her to come on and do her show,
right?
They say, and Governor Schwarzenegger is out of the country. He is in Austria.
Funny right there.
Doctor.
Yeah. And the reason he's there is he's been selected by the United States to be our country's representative at the funeral, maybe of the president or the king of Austria, however.
Somebody over in Austria. Yeah, a playa died.
Yeah. So Bush calls up and says, hey, Arnold.
Arnold, why don't you get over there and represent Austria? That's where you're from, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Go down there.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, say hi to Crocodile Dundee when you're down there for me.
Well, this stupid, dirty girl story, for some reason the media was all over this. Reardon has since apologized. Quoting a spokesman for Reardon, it's time for us to move on.
Okay, now we go. I got sidetracked there with Arnold Schwarzenegger and VD.
Yeah.
But so Reardon says to the girl, to a little girl.
Education secretary in charge of California's kids. He says, you know, he was kidding, but it was maybe a poor choice at a poor time. He said that her name, Isis, means stupid, dirty girl. And then he said, well, it's actually Egyptian for goddess.
And you really want a kid with a little kid like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Duh.
Hey, hold on a second.
Get over there to Austria, Arnold, and buy me a kangaroo.
What was that again? What did he call?
Stupid, dirty girl.
Hey, but what was the translation on that?
Isis. Oh, Isis.
Oh. Hey, Beth Ann?
Yeah.
Maybe you could call your daughter Isis tonight.
Oh!
Being as you said earlier that you love the dog
equally
as much as your daughter.
Okay.
See, right. She won't do that because she would never do that to her dog.
Have you rethought that, Beth Ann?
Well, as soon as I get out of here, I got to go pick up the dog at the vet.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Have you talked to your daughter at all today?
I did this morning.
She's walking home.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's picking up the dog, you know, the daughter will have to hoof it.
Well, she called because she was concerned about the dog, and I said, God, it's so expensive.
Uh-huh.
Maybe because of all the expense taking care of the dog, you're starting to change your tune a little bit.
No, because then her first thought was, you wouldn't spend that much money on me. And I said, if you were sick, I would have.
Yeah.
I remember the conversation with Beth Ann went like this. How's your dog? She told me yesterday her dog was feeling ill. She said, oh, thank you for asking. The dog's doing better. Took him to a good vet.
Yeah.
My daughter is upset. And she has an 18-year-old daughter.
Right, right.
Because the daughter said, it appears that you love the dog more than me. And Beth Ann said to the daughter, no, I love you equally.
That's right.
The dog and the daughter.
And she's not backing away from that statement.
So now your nickname for the daughter should be?
Isis.
It should be Jennifer Isis.
Jennifer, I like it.
Jennifer Isis.
Might be an icy weekend in Beth Ann's house, too.
She's not even home.
Oh.
Yeah.
She's still walking.
These boots are made for walking. Bye, B.A.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, as long as the dog's at home.
From our Women We Love and Admire department.
Where's the peanut butter?
American soldier.
Well, who doesn't like peanut butter?
Yeah, a nice peanut butter sandwich.
Hold on. These women.
Hello?
That's gross.
You weren't even supposed to understand that.
I did.
Yes. Okay.
She's on thousands of best of tapes that I listen to every day.
Okay. There we go.
Catching up.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That's gross. She's funny.
From our Women We Love and Admire department, American soldier Lindy England is facing new sex charges today.
Oh, this is the dykey girl with the short haircut, with the prison thing.
This is the dykey girl with the bad eye, you know, with the lazy eye.
Right, the first one that was interviewed on 60 Minutes after all the stuff at the prison.
Yeah, the remorseless wench.
Thank you.
Right.
This time, the Pentagon says the charges do not involve abusing Iraqis. these new sex charges. Lindy was the private pointing and laughing at an Iraqi's privates in a now famous photo. And Courtney Love had a court date today over charges she hit a woman with a beer bottle, but she skipped the hearing. It's her birthday. The judge promptly boosted Courtney's bail from $55,000 to $150,000.
Wow. Every time I see her, she looks like she's just rolled out of the sack and that she's had a couple of drinks. And how is it that she manages to go to court? Is it that the bond keeps getting bigger and the bail keeps getting bigger and bigger and she just pays it and she keeps getting continuances?
No, she's going to have to answer for all of this. And like I said, my guess is that because it's her birthday, that's why she just couldn't make it to court on time.
Just couldn't make it on time.
Because I think the last thing I read about her last week in the newspaper was that she was like 5 hours late for a court date.
Now she's done that.
And the judge took a few minutes to lecture her. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was anybody else,
yeah, they'd be in jail. Probably.
You're 5 hours. You know, you're 5 hours late. They go, okay, who's the next name?
Right.
You know, go out and get a warrant.
Yeah, I think the judge's patience is wearing thin. Two or three more times of this, and she's going to be in some real trouble.
You know, I just think really the way she behaves, she probably wants to eventually be with her ex-husband. Every time I see her, I mean, really, it looks like she seriously is going to end up on a slab.
Rode hard and put away wet, as they used to say.
Courtney, love American style.
Mm-hmm.
Baby!
And haven't we done this to death? Your tax dollars at work. The government is spending more money to study if TV and video games are bad for kids. $90 million this time.
Stop it!
Well, $100 million would have sounded too expensive.
God.
This time, they're doing it to see if all the watching and the playing damage the kids' health, their physical health.
Please.
Does it make them fat? Does it make them violent? Does it make them sexually aggressive? Even the stuffy old Parents Television Council says this is a dumb idea. Quote, just a waste of money.
Absolutely.
Bully. And you know who has a natural talent for that is Rob's daughter, Julia, you know, the hello girl.
Right, yeah.
On vacation last week when they were up at the beach with us for a couple of weeks, I had told Julia on more than one occasion, you know, if you want, we can play my Madden game, play the video game.
Right.
And she had never played
given her a
game like that before. I think the only thing she said, she may have played like Wheel of Fortune on the computer or something.
Right.
So, and Julia's how old?
She will be almost four. 3 and a half.
Almost four. So anyway, it's her first time, and right. I explained to her, okay, now Julia, when they come up to the line, you push the blue button, and that moves the guy. Then you push the green button, it hikes the ball, and then you use this little joystick to move the guy around. And granted, when I was on defense, I had all my guys run backwards, but she started scoring touchdowns.
Wow.
Right. And at one point, it became not cute.
Oh.
And then you eventually beat her and did a victory dance?
Because what I had to do is, she said, oh, touchdown, 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 Redskins. And like after the third touchdown, when I got sick of saying, oh, you're such a good player, Julie, you're doing so good.
Why don't you go with your mommy, play on the beach.
I said, let's play one more time. And I was picking the plays.
Right.
So she was the Redskins, I was the Packers, and the play was a handoff to the halfback up the middle.
Right.
I lined up in a punt block defense.
Okay.
So I've got 10 guys on the line.
Right.
And she hits the button and damn, if it doesn't go through. And I swear to God, you asked Julia, because she came running down to tell Rob, a 65-yard touchdown, beaten by a 3-year-old when I was trying to play.
Oh, no. Hey, 3 and a half, come on.
What's the driving game you had her play, too?
Oh, that's the NASCAR game.
That was great, because she drives just like her mother.
You know, she was good at that, too, though.
Yeah, like Carrie. Most of the time, she doesn't hit the wall. Literally, I mean, not figuratively, my lovely wife.
Got a lady Carrie. Back to the one tree.
She's not going to do that again.
That's threatening, Rob. Have fun at the yard sale.
Yeah. So they're worried about the kids playing those video games and watching TV, but it's not like we're all just sitting around reading. In fact, nobody reads much of anything, according to the latest study. The number of people who read literature, poetry, plays, and fiction, has dropped to 47%.
It's faggots.
54% 10 years ago.
Yeah, damn right. But damn straight, Buzz.
Even when you add in the tell-alls and the so-called biographies and the novelty stuff, only 56% of us read any of that.
I like picture books.
That's down 4% in 10 years.
I don't read.
TV, video games, and the internet and movies getting the credit.
What about Cheers and Jeers? Does that count?
A TV guide? Only when you read it to me.
Not an actual book.
I
know. I'll call
that
you.
That doesn't count?
No, it's not an actual book.
So I guess Maxim wouldn't count either.
No, magazine, but not a book.
Okay. Maxim is like a magazine for idiots.
A magazine for horny idiots.
Horny idiots. Yeah, yeah, guilty.
You kind of want to believe. We had the story yesterday about the woman who found the mouse, toad, she thought, in her salad at
right.
McDonald's.
Yeah.
But you kind of want to believe the judge in Missouri who says he found a mouse in his Miller Lite. He says he pulled it out of the fridge, slipped it into an insulated sleeve, and enjoyed the great taste of beer in a bottle.
I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at the computer, which tells me the commercials we have coming up very soon.
Yes.
Miller Brewing is sponsoring one of our next segments here.
Huh.
Live responsibly. Yeah. I just want to say
that's
that
right.
on behalf
that's
of
the,
Miller,
the slogan.
The Miller Company.
Yeah, right. check every bottle for a mouse.
That's okay. And just to balance things out, I got a story coming up about Corona.
So. Hi, Joe.
I'd just like to say that there is nothing wrong with Miller Lite.
Joe.
And Joe is wearing
the
a Miller Lite beverage in the world, and I'm on a mission to eradicate the world of every can of it in my lifetime.
Yeah. Joe
is actually wearing a Miller Lite hat
the weekend's here.
Thank you, Joe.
The judge says he then filled the bottle with water and drained it into the sink to ready it for recycling.
I would believe the judge, Buzz.
That's when he says the mouse tail kind of started hanging out of the neck of the bottle. He, too, is unhappy with a lack of response from that company. He says Miller told him to mail them the bottle so they could see if it was really a mouse. As a lawyer, the judge says he knows better than to let go of evidence. The alleged mouse was bottled in Fort Worth, Texas.
Mouse makes it taste better.
It's three. Weekend's here. Have a mouse. Here come the judge.
El Squeako.
Buzz, what's yes. next after the break?
Another story about contamination, but not of food. A bed.
A bed. Oh.
I think I might have seen this.
Yeah, you might have.
Oh, last night on the show that my wife was watching it, instead of, caressing me,
uh-huh. right?
The show that had the dogs that went crazy when you left the house,
right?
They also had another one of those great segments where they went into some of the fanciest hotels in the world,
right. yeah.
with the blue light.
This might be related to what Buzz has.
Oh, definitely.
And they were saying, like, in New York, stay at the Plaza, pay $400 a night,
right?
And don't delete this out because I'm saying something newsworthy.
Mm-hmm.
They went into a room in the Plaza Hotel on Primetime 2020 last
night.
They found urine all over the walls.
Well,
I mean, like
right.
the walls in the room where the bed is.
Yeah, well, that plaza has been around for a long time.
I mean, besides all of the stains that that you're going to find on the bed sheets,
it gives new meaning to the phrase upper crust.
Buzz, it's contamination
time.
When we come right back,
this is the Don and Mike Show.
When your kid's trying pot, you have to say something, no matter how they might react.
The Don and Mike Show. WKFK.
I'm sure that was an important message.
I'm sure.
But we just lost it.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Little computer glitch.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and mm-hmm. instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike.
What happened? The Don and Mike Show.
What
happened?
Whoa.
What happened?
Hey, what happened? Hold on a second.
Hey, what happened?
Come on, that's my favorite record of all time.
The Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
Best intro ever.
Proof that comedy doesn't need to be funny. The Don and Mike Show.
He's done an excellent job of proving that. Listen, tonight at 11 o'clock here on WJFK-FM,
hey!
You'll hear Alex Jimenez.
Hefe!
With his hideout show.
Mm-hmm.
Alex is the smart one and J-Dubs is the dumb one.
Yeah, but they're both very funny together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were talking, the other night on the show about a movie with our new format.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get into great detail.
We're limited, yeah.
But I do want to thank the listener that brought by the copy to Alex of Boobtown. And
there it is.
It's on the old, big old school box.
Yeah, the old-fashioned kind.
Big VHS tape, and there it is right there. VCA Platinum Plus Boobtown. Be kind, please rewind.
Yes,
does
amen.
Does it mention which core that might be? Because I think there's two versions of Boobtown out there.
It's
soft and the hard.
I don't know.
If you must say.
Core.
Don't know. Anyway, thanks. I guess Alex was talking. We had talked about Boobtown at some point.
Yeah, jokingly. It's an American classic.
Anyway, thank you very much, Alex.
Yes.
It's not too... Oogie that I'm going to take that home and watch that after our listeners watch that.
Well, you're going to have a weekend of enjoyable viewing.
I am. Yes, I am. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike.
Hi there.
It was the honeymoon for a couple from Virginia Beach, and he slipped between the sheets at Circus Circus in Las Vegas. He says that when he pulled the covers over his face was covered with a stain about 6 inches wide.
Oh.
He says that spot...
Oh, this is the story that you teased before we went to break.
The spot on the sheets left someone else's human feces on his face.
Oh, my God.
Quoting him, I was like, what the hell is this smell? He says hotel workers mocked him, thought it was funny. They began to call it the brown room, he says. And so the man is suing the hotel's casino parent company for at least $40,000.
That's, I think they're getting off easy.
Yeah. They're burning CDs in South Africa.
I heard he was S-faced. Wasted.
Imagine that. They'll try not to laugh. He's coming down there and get over.
Yeah, try to keep
his
face.
Stain on his forehead.
Yeah.
Looked like Ash Wednesday.
Oh, God.
They're burning CDs in South Africa. No, they're not recording music on the discs. And no, this is not some kind of protest. Robbers in South Africa have started setting fire to compact discs whenever they go into a place to steal something. The fumes given off by the CDs act as a knockout gas, a gas that could kill a person or leave them permanently damaged. So damn it, kids, don't try this at home.
Boy, I hope my brother's not listening to this in Wisconsin right now.
Wow.
And the police in South Africa have confirmed that this works. They've warned citizens to lock their houses to keep out the CD burners.
So if you set a CD on fire, it can knock you out or kill you.
Apparently so. The plastic gives off fumes that render humans unconscious. In one case, the robbers hit two homes and put the husbands in bed with each other's wives while both couples were knocked out by the gas.
Wow.
Imagine their surprise.
Jeez.
So wait a minute. So not only did they knock them out and potentially maybe kill them by setting the CDs on fire,
but they assured that if they did wake up, they'd think that their husbands were cheating on each other.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
That's low.
Pretty nice.
Brilliant.
A car hit a utility
pole. Excuse me, that's low. You're right. What am I saying?
Brilliantly low.
Thank you, Buzz.
A car hit a utility pole in a mailbox in Vineland, New Jersey, Monday night around 9:30. The two people inside the car were taken to a hospital, and they did not exactly have clean underwear. They hadn't even been wearing their seat belts because the driver and his passenger were apparently having sex at the time of the crash.
Oh,
my. The 18-year-old woman was found...
Good heavens.
She was found on the pavement. Her underwear was still inside the car. They found a little of her hair in the cracks of the windshield.
Oh, man.
He had no insurance and no pants.
What kind of hair was it?
His underwear, that hasn't been identified
yet.
His underwear was around his ankles. A witness reports seeing the woman on top of the driver while they were speeding and laughing.
Hey, how about that Carol Crow?
Police also found a couple of open bottles of Corona. Yeah, I'm sure they had the radio.
Hey, there's your Corona story.
Yeah. Finally, they found a wet, naked man in the ladies' room of a synagogue in Pittsburgh yesterday. He told police he was waiting to catch his rocket ship.
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
But I'd rather talk about the blind man who did not cross the road to get to the other side. He's been sent to jail.
Blind Glenn in Las Vegas. How you doing? Have a great weekend, Blind Glenn.
Well, how are you?
This blind man has been sent to jail for groping the chests of young women there in England. The 49-year-old found his opportunities each time a young woman would respond to his request to help him across the street.
Oh, God.
Happy weekend. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Buzz.
You bet.
Hold on a second. I got to do this on the touch screen now.
I'm Blind Glenn, and I eat babies.
Touch screen
kind of jingle
comes up right there.
Media touch
okay, here we go. And I just pressed it, and look at that. I pressed it any harder.
Oh, I know what.
What?
I'm sorry. Now do it.
There you go.
Beautifully done, and
very good.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Let's see, who do I want to thank today? Today we want to thank the people from the nudist place, the nudist colony.
We want to thank the people from the amazing race.
We don't know their names, but thank them. And, of course, we want to thank Beth Ann's dog for making all of this possible.
A very loved animal.
Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend, everybody. Love you, Frieda. Love you, Bart. We'll be back Monday with a new episode. Glad to be back on in Tampa Bay. Good day to you, sir.
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 Thank God your restaurant's in the ground.
Thank God it's open.
It's open.
And, Rob?
I have joy. But it's
I'll see you tomorrow at the lawn sale. Yard sale.
Gotta go.
Tonight. Washington, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, please stand by for the best of Ron and Fez. Everybody else, enjoy Get the Lut Out or whatever the hell they do after we leave.
Happy Schadenfreude.
Okay. Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. Till we meet again.
Working great.
Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
I better shut the door again to just do
yeah, because we're still in here. Good night.
This is the Don and Mike Show.